day. The sun is shining, the birds are singing, and there's never been a better day to try Mount Shasta spring water. Hi, I'm Bob the Drop. I come from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta. I'm bottled at the source. It doesn't get more cool and refreshing than that, and it's delivered right to your door. Yep, pure and simple, naturally the best. Start your bright new day by calling 1-800-922-6227 to order some of the best tasting water on the planet. Mount Shasta spring water.
I expected to be a lot easier.
I didn't know what step to take next.
I was transitioning from the military. I was a vehicle gunner.
An avionics specialist.
I missed my unit, my family.
Playing with my daughter, I'd felt like a stranger.
I didn't have a clear sense of what to do next.
And then I thought, if I'm going through this, other veterans have gone through it too, right?
So I reached out, and I saw that I wasn't alone.
Go to maketheconnection.net to learn how other veterans have overcome the challenges of transitioning out of the military.
Hey, welcome. This is The Ben Shapiro Show. The Ben Shapiro Show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. For peace of mind whenever you go online, visit expressvpn.com/Ben. Yesterday, the Supreme Court came down with a couple of big decisions. Both were somewhat expected. Both were, I would say, disappointments for conservatives. And you're seeing some conservatives today spin these decisions as not super disappointing for conservatives, but they're disappointing for conservatives. One of them less so than the other. So the first one was sort of expected. Hey, there was a case that was brought to the Supreme Court. The case was basically that Obamacare ought to be struck down in its entirety, which, of course, would throw the healthcare system into a bit of a mess, considering that Obamacare has now been implemented in the United States for nigh on a decade. And that means that it would undo a lot of what's already been done in terms of public, in terms of Obamacare options available and number of people who are already on Obamacare options and subsidy schemes that have been created. Now, the reality when it comes to Obamacare is that Obamacare has not been the sort of panacea that everybody on the left suggested it was going to be. It has not been sort of the end of the world, as some of us thought that it would be, but it certainly has not succeeded in bringing down the price of healthcare overall. Megan McArdle over at the Washington Post has a very good piece on this. She points out that some of her critiques, she's a big critic of Obamacare, some of those critiques were right, some of them were a little bit overblown. She says, first, I doubted we would improve our overly complex, balkanized healthcare system with yet another major program that would make it even more complicated. Second, I feared committing more than $100 billion to new spending every year at a time when we hadn't even figured out how to pay for existing entitlement programs. Third, I worried that having the government subsidize even more of our medical bills would lead to price pressure, particularly on pharmaceuticals and medical devices, which in turn would reduce incentives for innovation. And fourth, I simply didn't believe many of the claims supporters were making, explicitly or implicitly, about Obamacare dramatically reducing healthcare costs or bankruptcies or infant mortality or improving lifespans. So the complications of the healthcare system remain complications. Right. So she was right about that. The system has not gotten any simpler for pretty much anybody. Also, with regard to innovation, innovation continues to happen in the American healthcare system. That is largely the result of the American healthcare system still after Obamacare being more privatized than European healthcare systems. And also due to the fact that we provide pretty serious patent protection for our drug and pharmaceutical manufacturers. Now, obviously, there are attempts to roll that back and to allow the American healthcare system to bargain collectively with pharmaceutical makers. And you've seen the Biden administration try to crack down even further on innovation by doing things like getting rid of patent protection for mRNA vaccines that just saved the world from this pandemic. As far as the fiscal crisis, yes, Obamacare costs a lot of money. Also, we are spending more money than God anyway, is the point that Megan McArdle is making. But the final sort of concern, which is that this wasn't going to bring down costs, that is exactly right. And as Megan McArdle points out, Obamacare supporters talked a lot about illnesses contributing to more than half of all bankruptcies, which implied there should have been a sharp decrease in 2014 when Obamacare took effect. There was not. Also, infant mortality has not decreased. It's pretty much the same. Also, Obamacare supporters claimed that tens of thousands of people were dying every year because they didn't have health insurance. And that suggested that by 2019, our mortality rate should be substantially lower. Instead, mortality rates actually leveled off around the time of Obamacare. They said that they were going to reduce healthcare costs, and that didn't happen either. Okay, so bottom line is, Obamacare hasn't done much except add to the costs and add to the complications. Okay, the one thing that Obamacare really did is it, again, shifted the nature of the balance between the government and the American citizen. Right? This is the problem with the original Obamacare Supreme Court decision and Obamacare in its essence, which is, before this, there was no notion in American law, before Obamacare, there was no notion in American law, really, that the government could punish you for living and not doing something the government wanted you to do. right? Typically, you would have to violate a law. But now, thanks to Obamacare, the federal government could mandate that you purchase a product, right? That was the new thing. The federal government getting into the business of forcing you to purchase a product. Now, you'll remember that the federal Congress does not have the power to do that. The federal government has the power to tax, but the federal government does not have the power to issue some sort of penalty fee for you not buying a product, which is why the original Obamacare case was twisted by John Roberts, who is truly a bad chief justice. It was twisted by John Roberts in order so that Obamacare would be preserved. The way he did this is he completely rewrote Obamacare law, and he suggested that Obamacare itself was not a penalty, right? There was no the individual mandate was not a penalty attaching if you didn't buy Obamacare or have health insurance. Instead, Obamacare was a tax, right? The individual mandate wasn't a mandate. It was a tax. It wasn't a fee. It was a tax because the government has the power to tax. And the people who criticized this said, well, it doesn't say anywhere in the law it's a tax. The people who were arguing in favor of the individual mandate explicitly said it was not a tax. And not only that, what sort of tax applies only to people who do X or to do Y? Right. That doesn't make any sense. Taxes typically apply to an entire spectrum of activity. Right. They apply to anybody who owns it. Property taxes apply if you own a house. Here, you're getting a tax if you don't do something the government wants you to do, which is really weird. That's normally like a penalty. OK, so the original Obamacare decision was a travesty of justice. It was originally. And then there's a second case that was brought against Obamacare. And it pointed out that Obamacare's language had been explicitly designed to provide subsidies for particular states, but not via the federal government. Okay, and it was a little bit complex, but the bottom line is that it was actually a pretty good claim. The Supreme Court threw that out also in order to preserve Obamacare, because again, Chief Justice John Roberts believes that his sole role in the American governing system is to quote unquote preserve the legitimacy of the Supreme Court. What this has meant in practice is preserving heavy pieces of legislation that are left-wing status quo, and then curbing any sort of judicial pushback to the legislative overreach of the left, right? So whenever there's a left-wing decision that really preserves a large piece of legislation, then John Roberts is on board because he doesn't believe in quote-unquote judicial activism. Now, he has redefined judicial activism to mean something different than it actually means. Judicial activism typically means that you are reading your own priorities into the law. John Roberts has redefined that to mean anytime the Supreme Court overrules Congress on a major issue, this is quote-unquote judicial activism, which is silly. Literally, the job of the Supreme Court, if you believe in judicial review, is to overrule the Congress when the Congress is in conflict with the Constitution. John Roberts believes that when the judiciary is in conflict with the legislature as a general rule, that's a bad thing for the judiciary. And therefore, you can constantly find him trying to uphold very controversial pieces of legislation, up to and including Obamacare, simply by rewriting the laws. So when it comes to the left, he wants to preserve the law in order to, quote unquote, preserve the Supreme Court. When it comes to decisions on the right, you will find him seeking unanimity rather than creating wide sweeping decisions that actually protect liberty. So instead, he will attempt to go for a 9-0 decision that limits the scope of liberty instead of going for like a 6-3 decision in which he would be in the majority that expands the scope of liberty. All right, so this Obamacare decision, there is so basically the Congress under Donald Trump in 2017, Republicans controlled Congress. And you remember, there was this big fight over whether to repeal Obamacare. I remember John McCain standing up there and giving the thumbs down and the left cheering and all of that. Well, one thing Congress did do is they effectually got rid of the individual mandate. The way they got rid of the individual mandate, which creates all sorts of problems for the funding of Obamacare generally, because if you can't punish people for not getting Obamacare, then why exactly would they get Obamacare in the first place? Right? That really was the big question. What Congress did is they took the individual mandate, quote unquote, tax down to $0. Now, this provided sort of a problem, because if the idea from the Supreme Court is that Obamacare's individual mandate was not a fee, it was not a penalty, it was a tax, then once you take the tax down to zero, it's no longer a tax. Okay, well, if it's no longer a tax, then the entire funding mechanism for the bill sort of tends to fall apart, or at least part of the funding mechanism tends to fall apart. And the argument states were making is that that provision of the bill, this quote tax, which makes the bill constitutional, is no longer effectual, right? There is no tax anymore. So there is no actual way for the bill to be constitutional. And so this was the issue before the Supreme Court. It seems sort of technical, and it is, in fact, sort of technical. So technical, in fact, that the reason this decision is 7-2 is because Justice Thomas, who, of course, is the most conservative member of the court, the most originalist member of the court, and the seminal figure in American legal thinking. Right? I'm a bigger fan of Justice Thomas than I was even of Justice Scalia. I like Scalia a lot. I think Thomas is a superior justice in a variety of ways. In fact, if you want to know more about Justice Thomas on a personal level, you should go check out a brand new documentary that we have over at Daily Wire, right now streaming, Created Equal. You can go check that out. We'll talk about that a little bit later on in the program because it really is great. But Justice Thomas, he put out a concurrence. He ruled in favor of upholding Obamacare here. Why? He acknowledges full well that the states are correct that once you get rid of the individual mandate tax, that the tax itself is no longer operative. And once it's no longer operative, the entire bill could theoretically become non-operative. Right? He agrees with this basic argument. So here's what Justice Thomas writes in his dissent, or rather in his concurrence. He says, according to the government, the mandate was, quote, necessary to make other reforms effective. It noted that Congress's findings expressly state that enforcement of those provisions without a minimum coverage provision would restrict the availability of health insurance and make it less affordable, the opposite of Congress's goals in enacting the Affordable Care Act. It was widely thought that without the mandate, much of the act and perhaps even the whole scheme would collapse. This court also embraced that view when it re-encountered the act in 2015. That was another case, this is the second case I talked about where they upheld Obamacare, where they redefined the state to mean state or federal government. The court explained that, quote, Congress had found that the guaranteed issue and community rating requirements would not work without the mandate. But times have changed. In this suit, the plaintiffs assert this would be the Obama administration and this would be the states that are they're suing to get rid of the individual mandate and the Obamacare entirely. In this suit, the plaintiffs assert the mandate is unconstitutional because it no longer imposes financial consequences and thus cannot be justified as a tax. Given that the mandate is unconstitutional, other portions of the act that actually harm the plaintiffs must fall with it. Now, the current administration contends the mandate can, in fact, be severed from the rest of the act. Okay, but here's the bottom line. Bottom line is that what Justice Thomas finds is, well, he says that the plaintiffs here have a pretty good case that the entire act is unconstitutional. They don't actually have standing in order to bring the case. So standing, as we've spoken about on the program before, standing is a doctrine that says that you can only sue to get rid of a law if the law has done you some damage, if the law has done you some harm. So if a bus were to hit one of my producers, I cannot sue you for that. It has not harmed me personally. My producer's family could sue, but I can't sue. I don't have standing. Same thing here. So basically Thomas says, if you get rid of the individual mandate to the extent that there's a $0 tax, there's effectively no damage done to the state. So the state can't actually sue. The states instead sort of, kind of, but didn't really make the argument that the whole act hurts them. And so if you can use this as a lever to get rid of the whole act, that gives you standing. He rejects that standing argument. So that's the Obamacare decision. Okay, and the Obamacare decision, again, not totally unexpected. Even people on the right sort of thought that the case itself was somewhat weak. That's not where I think the real disappointment is not really in this case upholding Obamacare. Again, the big cases against Obamacare were brought in 2012, and those cases were rejected by the Roberts Supreme Court on really flimsy grounds. Hey, the real disappointment that I have is for a decision that conservatives supposedly won. Alrighty, coming up, there is another Supreme Court decision that came down yesterday. Conservatives are saying they're happy about it. I don't understand why. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Maxwell, he was a runaway to rescue, great disposition. About 9 years ago, he was scratching a lot, and he started losing some hair. My vet, she says, oh, he must be allergic to the chicken. Another vet said, it's the grain. Third vet, she said, it's the weather, something in the air. And then somebody said,
DINOVITE.com.
I have been listening to the Dynavite ads, hearing about different stories of different people, and it just clicked. I got my first 90-day supply, and it took a grand total of 2 weeks. And the dog stopped itching, the hair stopped falling out.
Dynavite is nutrition.
And Maxwell loves it. Now he's close to 10, and the Dynavite is a big part of Maxwell's diet.
Dynavite for life.
You won't believe how happy your dog will be.
And he's a spectacular dog.
DINOVITE.com.
America's kids are returning to class, in school and at home. And this year, learning is especially tough for kids who already struggle with poverty, emotional trauma, and other barriers. But Communities in Schools is helping by putting caring adults in schools to connect with kids. And now, we're reaching beyond school walls, tutoring, mentoring, and counseling students, providing resources for at-home learning, doing whatever it takes to make sure all kids have the opportunity to learn and succeed. For more information, visit communitiesinschools.org.
Meet Bob Minetti. In 2016, he was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. Bob participated in a clinical trial that included cutting-edge radiation therapy and surgery. He's been in remission since completion. I'm Keisha Sharp. Since losing my mother to pancreatic cancer, I've been working to share the kind of state-of-the-art work being done by Stand Up to Cancer and Left Garden Foundation. To learn more about the latest research, including clinical trials, visit pancreaticcancercollective.org.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-715-9880.
That's right. Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and Annuity Rate Report. Both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-715-9880. That's 800-715-9880.
Sponsored by Annuity General. Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So there were two decisions that came down yesterday from the Supreme Court. One was the Obamacare decision, kind of expected. Conservatives were disappointed. Then there was another decision. Conservatives seem to be excited. They really should not be. This is the far more disappointing decision. The case, which we have discussed briefly on the show before, this is a case in which there is a so-called anti-discrimination law in Philadelphia. And that anti-discrimination law basically says that no contractor with the city government of Philadelphia is allowed to discriminate on the basis of sexual orientation, right? That is what the law says. Okay. And this comes into conflict pretty clearly with Catholic adoption and foster agencies. So Catholic adoption and foster agencies, you're a 16-year-old Catholic girl, you get pregnant, you have a baby out of wedlock, you want to give it up for adoption or you want to put it in foster care, but you want the family that adopts to have the same principles that you hold religiously. And so you want that baby to be fostered by a male-female married couple, which until like literally the last 5 minutes, pretty much, was considered the norm in American life. And pretty much throughout the world, right, was that a baby needs a mother and a father. This was considered an extremely uncontroversial statement for nearly all of human history, was that a baby needed a mother and a father. Okay. Now it is considered discriminatory if you say that a baby needs a mother and a father, or that a mother-father married couple should be preferred to any other form of family formation, whether you're talking about two men, two women, two brothers, two sisters, a single woman, a single man, or any other form of family. And that if all other things being equal, right, and that's always the key, all other factors being held equal, you prefer a male-female couple because a child needs a mother and a father. Okay, so Catholic adoption agencies and foster agencies still hold by this. This led the city of Philadelphia to basically suggest that they would no longer do work with Catholic foster agencies. In fact, Catholic foster agencies would not be allowed to work because they have to work with Child Protective Services and the city. They would no longer be allowed to operate in the city limits, basically, of Philadelphia because they preferred male-female couples to male-male or female-female or single-female or single-male couple families. So this was elevated to the Supreme Court on religious freedom grounds, right? The idea being that this is a basic violation of religious freedom, which it very, very clearly is. The court ruled 9-0 in favor of the Catholic Adoption Agency and Foster Agency. So why am I pissed off? The reason I'm pissed off is the grounds of the decision. Because as always with the Roberts Court, he prefers unanimity in narrowness over a divided court with a broad ruling. And that's a serious problem for future precedent. So here is how CNBC reports this. The Supreme Court on Thursday delivered a unanimous defeat to LGBT couples in a high-profile case over whether Philadelphia could refuse to contract with a Roman Catholic Adoption Agency that says its religious beliefs prevent it from working with same-sex foster parents. Chief Justice John Roberts wrote in an opinion for a majority of the court that Philadelphia violated the First Amendment by refusing to contract with Catholic Social Services once it learned the organization would not certify same-sex couples for adoption. Roberts wrote, the free exercise clause of the First Amendment applicable to states under the 14th Amendment provides Congress shall make no law prohibiting the free exercise of religion. As an initial matter, it is plain that the city's actions have burdened CSS's religious exercise by putting it to the choice of curtailing its mission or approving relationships inconsistent with its beliefs. So the question in this case is whether the Supreme Court was going to overrule another Supreme Court decision that was called Employment Division versus Smith. This is a very famous Supreme Court decision in which actually Justice Scalia wrote the decision, and he set a standard for when a law conflicts with religious freedom, how we rule. I believe in that case, if I'm not mistaken, I believe the case was that there was a drug law and it came into conflict with a Native American religious group that used peyote as some sort of hallucinogen in their religious practice. And what he said is a law of neutral applicability that affects religious people differently is not, in fact, a violation of freedom of religion. Now, the problem with that basic concept, and conservatives have been sort of up in arms with Employment Division versus Smith ever since 1990, was that this actually treats freedom of religion differently than any other freedom in the American Constitution. Because the reality is that every other freedom in the American Constitution, we don't say that if there's a law of neutral applicability and it just happens to infringe on your freedom in this particular area, well, you know, so be it. So, for example, if we said that there's an anti-discrimination law, and this anti-discrimination law prohibits discrimination in any field of endeavor, it also happens to infringe on your ability to say a thing, right? It infringes on your ability to speak freely. We would have to have a pretty serious First Amendment discussion as to what level of anti-discrimination law is applicable there, right? And this holds true. Let's say that there was a law that just was intended on cracking down on the ability to disseminate particular types of printed material, and a crackdown on free press. Okay, well, we would make sure there was a pretty big carve out there for freedom of the press. But when it comes to freedom of religion, we're going to treat that just as though there's no extra stake for the U.S. government in preserving freedom of religion as opposed to anything else in American life. That obviously is not true. Okay, there's like Employment Division versus Smith has been a very controversial case for a very long time, and the standard Scalia sets there is not one that really comports with the original meaning of the Constitution. And I rarely say that about Scalia, but I really think that's true in Employment Division versus Smith. Here is the problem with this particular decision. It does not take on Employment Division versus Smith. Instead, what it did is decide this case on extremely narrow grounds. So Roberts said that the city's non-discrimination policy was not generally applicable. Instead of him saying generally applicable non-discrimination policies still have to make carve-outs for religion, instead of him saying that, which would be understandable and would have been much more protective of religious freedom, instead what Roberts said is he sort of gamed it. He said, well, you know, this particular policy is not a neutral policy. This one is, so if they made it a neutral policy, maybe they could crack down on religion. But since it's not really a neutral policy, they can't crack down on religion. They did the exact same thing. Justice Roberts did the exact same thing in the Jack Phillips Masterpiece Cake Shop case. And people on the right were cheering, oh, it's great. And I was very critical of that decision because I said, here is the problem. In that case, very similar case, there's an anti-discrimination law in the state of Colorado. It was brought against Jack Phillips, who again is now being subjected to actual discrimination in the state of Colorado on the basis of religion day in and day out. In that particular case, the Masterpiece Cake Shop case, Jack Phillips was told by a gay couple that they wanted him to bake a cake for their gay wedding. And he said, listen, I'm happy to sell you a cake. I'm happy to provide you a cake just as gay people, but I'm not going to participate in a gay wedding because I'm a religious Christian. And they sued. And the Supreme Court, instead of saying he has a religious right to practice his religion, instead of them saying that very clearly, instead what they said is, well, the way that the Colorado Human Rights Commission adjudicated the case demonstrated that they had animus for him, but if they didn't demonstrate that animus for him, then maybe they could have forced him to bake the cake. Okay, which again, does not protect religious rights, and it's the same thing here. Okay, Justice Roberts was successful in curtailing this decision down to its narrowest possible scope so that he could get Kagan and Sotomayor and Breyer on board. Who gives a crap about getting a 9-0 decision? Okay, anybody who is concerned with constitutional principles should be far less concerned with getting a 9-0 decision that quote-unquote upholds the integrity of the court than they should be with preserving religious freedom rights under the First Amendment to the Constitution. And that's why I'm kind of fighting mad over this particular decision. Robert said, no matter the level of deference we extend to the city, the inclusion of a formal system of entirely discretionary exceptions in its foster care standards renders the contractual non-discrimination requirement not generally applicable. So again, he's just making excuses, and this is what he does. He makes excuses to uphold government power, and when he strikes down government power, he does so on very narrow grounds that basically still upholds governmental power. He's a bad Chief Justice. Alrighty, coming up, we'll get into the concurrence by Justice Alito, which spells out just why the Supreme Court decision is so bad. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Did the Redding summer heat put a toll on your vehicle? Is your paint faded, peeling, or even scratched up? It'll get worse faster than you think. You may think it's way too expensive to have painted. Well, think again. You can bring it to Maaco here in Redding and get a professional paint job and save big with their $4.99 special. Maaco also has interest-free loans for up to a year OAC. Maaco, America's Body Shop, 3045 Crossroads Drive. Uh-oh. Better call Maaco, 226-0992. Have you been involved in a minor accident and find it's not big enough to go through your insurance company? Bring it to Maaco and get it fixed at a fraction of the cost. Remember, it's your choice where you go to have your vehicle repaired. Call Maaco for uncompromised quality, quick turnaround times, and all work backed by the National Maaco Warranty. Maaco, America's Body Shop. Stop in at 3045 Crossroads Drive or call 226-0992. Uh-oh. Better call Maaco, 226-0992.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
100 years ago, Simpson University began with a promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with a promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Today, Simpson University continues to provide a Christ-centered education, graduating students with mature and infectious faith, critical competence, and a ready spirit to thrive as servant leaders around the world and at our backyard. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
Hi, this is Dr. Patricia Bay, and my radio show, Therapy in a Nutshell, which airs on Saturdays at 11 a.m. on KCNR, 1460 a.m., or 96.5 FM, is a great show for you to listen to and learn how to effectively change your life. We talk about issues such as communication and trust, couples issues, and many more. Also, you can listen to the radio show on my podcast through the Anchor app, which is free and safe, or you can tune into the iTunes or Spotify podcast and listen to it there. It's a nice show that'll help you throughout the day and throughout your life. So join me for Therapy in a Nutshell, Saturdays, 11 a.m. at KCNR Radio. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, trying to heal the world 1 hour at a time.
You get me every time.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide 3 delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows with the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and I am your host every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 with Battlefield Expressions. Battlefield Expressions is where we talk about veterans' issues, advocacy for our community, and those in our community who help support our veterans. Once again, join me every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, Battlefield Expressions on KCNR 96.5, 1460 AM.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon. 550.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, a lot of conservatives celebrating this 9-0 victory, supposedly on behalf of Catholic Social Services, saying that this upholds religious freedom. It really doesn't. This decision on religious freedom is extremely, extremely narrow. And it's a problem. So Justice Alito writes a dissent in this case. It's a concurrence. I keep saying dissent, but it's a concurrence. In which he says this is way too narrow. He says, this case presents an important constitutional question that urgently calls out for review. Whether this court's governing interpretation of a bedrock constitutional right, the right to free exercise of religion, is fundamentally wrong and should be corrected. In Employment Division versus Smith, the court abruptly pushed aside nearly 40 years of precedent and held that the First Amendment's free exercise clause tolerates any rule that categorically prohibits or commands specified conduct so long as it does not target religious practice. Even if a rule serves no important purpose and has a devastating effect on religious freedom, the Constitution, according to Smith, provides no protection. This severe holding is ripe for reexamination. So what they were saying is we basically had six justices who were ready to overrule Employment Division versus Smith. We were ready to do it. We were ready to go back to the I believe it's the so-called Lemon test, in which we actually examined whether religious practice came into conflict with neutral law and carved out exceptions for religious practice. There's no question, says Alito, that Smith's interpretations can have startling consequences. Here are a few examples. Suppose that the Volstead Act, which implemented the Prohibition Amendment, had not contained an exception for sacramental wine. The act would have been consistent with Smith, even though it would have prevented the celebration of a Catholic Mass anywhere in the United States. Or suppose that a state, following the example of several European countries, made it unlawful to slaughter an animal that had not first been rendered unconscious. That law would be fine under Smith, even though it would outlaw both kosher and halal slaughter. Or suppose that a jurisdiction in this country, following the recommendations of medical associations in Europe, banned the circumcision of infants. The San Francisco ballot initiative in 2010 proposed just that. A categorical ban would be allowed by Smith, even though it prohibited an ancient and important Jewish and Muslim practice. Or suppose that this court, or some other court, enforced a rigid rule prohibiting attorneys from wearing any form of head covering in court. This rule would satisfy Smith, even though it would stop Orthodox Jewish men, Sikh men, and many Muslim women from appearing. Many other examples could be added. We may hope that legislators and others with rulemaking authority will not go as far as Smith allows, but the present case shows the dangers posed by Smith are not hypothetical. The city of Philadelphia has issued an ultimatum to an arm of the Catholic Church. Either engage in conduct that the Church views as contrary to the traditional Christian understanding of marriage, or abandon a mission that dates back to the earliest days of the Church, providing for the care of orphaned and abandoned children. Many people, says Alito, believe they have a religious obligation to assist such children. Jews and Christians, regardless, is a scriptural command. It is a mission that the Catholic Church has undertaken since ancient times. In the New World, religious groups continue to take the lead. The first known orphanage in what is the United States was founded by an order of Catholic nuns in New Orleans around 1729, during the latter part of the 19th century. And continuing into the 20th century, the care of children was shifted from orphanages to foster families, but for many years, state and local government participation in this field was quite limited. Whether with or without governmental participation, Catholic foster agencies in Philadelphia and other cities have a long record of finding homes for children whose parents are unable or unwilling to care for them. Recently, however, the city has barred Catholic Social Services from continuing this work. Because the Catholic Church continues to believe that marriage is a bond between one man and one woman, CSS will not vet same-sex couples. As far as the record reflects, no same-sex couple has ever approached CSS. But if that were to occur, CSS would simply refer the couple to another agency that is happy to provide that service. There are at least 27 other such agencies in Philadelphia. That didn't matter to Philadelphia. They wanted to crack down on CSS. Regrettably, the court declines to confront Employment Division versus Smith, says Alito. Instead, it reverses based on what appears to be a superfluous and likely to be short-lived feature of the city's standard annual contract with foster care agencies. Smith's holding about categorical rules does not apply if a rule permits individualized exemptions, and the majority seizes on the presence of the city's standard contract of language, giving a city official the power to grant exemptions. The city tells us it has never granted such an exemption and has no intention of handing one to CSS. But the majority reverses the decision below because the contract supposedly confers that never-used power. That decision might as well be written on the dissolving paper sold in magic shops. The city has been adamant about pressuring CSS to give in. If the city wants to get around today's decision, it can simply eliminate the never-used exemption power. If it does that, voila, today's decision will vanish, and the parties will be back where they started. This is exactly right, and this is why I am super mad at Justice Thomas. This is what at Justice Roberts, rather. Justice Roberts. has been disgracefully committed to the idea that the role of the Supreme Court in American public life, in terms of how many people respect it, is significantly more important than the actual protection of the Constitution of the United States. And that is simply wrong. Okay, and again, as Alito points out, the Employment Division versus Smith notion basically discriminates on the basis of freedom of religion in a way that it simply would not allow for any other amendment in American law. Right? This particular decision was an opportunity. It was a blown opportunity, and it was blown because Roberts, who is the Chief Justice and has the ability to do so, decided to cobble together a unanimous decision rather than simply cobble together a solid majority decision that actually protected religious freedom in a time when religious freedom is seriously under assault. That is a huge, crazy mistake. And again, it's not a mistake by Roberts, because this is what Roberts thinks the court is there to do. Basically uphold the whim of the legislature. And when you can't do it, then you redraw the law, or you find some very narrow excuse to strike down the law, allowing the legislature, or in this case, the city council of Philadelphia, to go back and rewrite the law, allowing them to do exactly what they want a second time around. What a failure Roberts has been, and what a disgrace to the Supreme Court this is. It really is a bad decision, in the same way that the Masterpiece Cake Shop decision was a bad decision, and has led to the unending harassment of, again, Jack Phillips. It's going to get worse, guys. If Employment Division versus Smith is upheld, you will see that the sort of anti-discrimination law that is now being promoted by the city of Philadelphia and is common in cities across the nation is going to be used to crack down on any religious organization that engages in any sort of activity that crosses streams with the government's authority. I've said for a long time, I think that it is very much in the near future that in places like California, tax-exempt status for religious schools is going to be removed. Accreditation for religious schools will be removed. I think that is not a question of if. I think it is merely a question of when, and I think the answer is pretty soon. And the Supreme Court could have stopped all that. They decided not to because Justice Roberts is too concerned with his own vision of unanimity and upholding the institutional, quote-unquote, integrity of the court, while completely undermining that integrity, because, again, the court is, in fact, supposed to be, it is its job, to be an anti, quote, democratic piece of constitutional machinery defending fundamental rights under the Constitution. If it doesn't do that, it's not doing its damn job. We'll get to more on this in just 1 second. First, have you ever read the fine print that appears when you start browsing in incognito mode? So you think incognito mode means that you're incognito. Wrong. Actually, it turns out your activity might still be visible to your employer, your school, or your ISP. How can they even call it incognito? To really stop people from seeing the sites you visit, you need to do what I do. Use ExpressVPN. Think about all the times you've used Wi-Fi at a coffee shop, hotel, even at your parents' house. Without ExpressVPN, every site you visit could be logged by the admin of that network, and that is still true even when you're in incognito mode. What's more, your home internet provider, like Comcast or AT&T, they can also see and record your browsing data, and they can sell that data to advertisers. ExpressVPN stops all of that by making your private online activity private. ExpressVPN works on all your devices. It is super easy to use. You just put it on the device, click one button, you're good to go. So stop letting strangers invade your online privacy. Protect yourself at expressvpn.com/Ben. Again, use my link, expressvpn.com/Ben. You get 3 extra months for free. That's expressvpn.com/Ben to learn more. Go check them out right now, expressvpn.com/Ben. Alrighty, coming up, the left has decided that if you want to celebrate Juneteenth, it must be that you have to celebrate critical race theory. This is a lie. Don't fall for it. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-785-9132. That's 800-785-9132. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-785-9132.
If you're an attorney who struggles with the balance of managing your practice and practicing law, consider Lexicon as your number one pick. From client intake to billing, and all that comes in between, Lexicon doesn't miss a thing. Our comprehensive solution combines best-in-class software and services to take care of your firm's most critical challenges, automating many of the tasks that take time out of your day. It's all about giving you more of your billable hours back. And who doesn't love more revenue? No more searching for practice management that works. Lexicon marks the spot. Visit lexiconservices.com to learn what Lexicon can do for you.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Paid for by Bar Justice. Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers. Bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
Poor Sam was a mess. Always itching, licking. His paws were soaking wet. He had bald spots on his back.
DINOVITE.com.
2 weeks after he started Dynavite, I started seeing great improvements. And today, 99% of his issues are non-existent.
Dynavite is nutrition.
Dynavite is the best thing you can do for your dog.
You won't believe how happy your dog will be.
I get my Dynavite from DINOVITE.com.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Congress declared nearly unanimously in favor of the idea of a Juneteenth holiday, right? A holiday that celebrates the anniversary in 1865 of slaves in Texas being notified of the Emancipation Proclamation. It's been celebrated as a Texas holiday for decades. And the basic idea is that there should be a holiday that commemorates the end of slavery in the United States, which seems pretty good to me considering the United States sacrificed several hundred thousand men in order to end slavery. Right? In fact, no less a personage than Donald Trump last year called for Juneteenth to become a national holiday. The only reason it didn't is because there were a few Republican objections to sort of the fiscal impact of that. There was talk about, are there too many federal holidays and all of that. Okay, bottom line is it passed 100-0 in the Senate. Right? Every senator voted in favor of making Juneteenth a national holiday. Everybody in the House, except for, I think, 14 Republicans who had sort of similar concerns about too many federal holidays, everybody else voted in favor of Juneteenth as a national holiday, and then Joe Biden signed it into law. Now, this has caused controversy on two separate scores. On the one side, you have some people on the right, and they're basically just reacting to people on the left, is the truth. What's happening is that people on the left are saying that because Juneteenth now exists, you must acquiesce to all of our legislative wishes. So you don't understand the legacy of Juneteenth unless you're fine with critical race theory, unless you want H.R. 1, unless you want all the things we want. You are dishonoring Juneteenth. So treating Juneteenth the way they treat Black History Month, right? Oh, it's Black History. Well, during Black History Month, you definitely have to be in favor of anything Stacey Abrams says. It's Black History Month. The left does the same thing with Pride Month. It's Pride Month. How could Ron DeSantis sign a law in Florida saying that only girls should play in girls' sports during Pride Month? How dare he? Same sort of thing happening immediately upon the declaration of Juneteenth as a national holiday. And the answer to that is, Juneteenth is a national holiday, not just a Black holiday, because Juneteenth is a celebration of America fulfilling founding promises in the Declaration of Independence as Lincoln spoke. It has been celebrated for decades for good reason. America is a magnificent place, and Juneteenth is evidence that America continues to progress. I mean, how many civilizations in history have had hundreds of thousands of men go out and fight to liberate other human beings? Not many. The answer is not very many. Okay, that the outcome of the Civil War and the emancipation of slaves in the United States and granting of full citizenship rights to slaves is an amazing development in American history and is worthy of celebration. And by the way, it should be a reminder that it was the Republican Party, as always, that freed the slaves. It was not the Democratic Party which opposed that. In any case, the left has reacted with almost a sort of pathological fury at the fact that so many conservatives seem okay with Juneteenth. Like, they don't understand why. And then there are people on the right who see what the left is doing, and they're like, well, if you give them an inch, they'll take a mile. So you should oppose Juneteenth on the basis that Juneteenth is divisive because the left is using it to be divisive. How about this? Juneteenth is unifying and the left sucks. How about that? Both of those things can be simultaneously true. Juneteenth should be a point of unification because it is a great and glorious moment in American history that should be celebrated. And also, the left sucks and is going to use any opportunity in order to club people into submission. Okay, so we saw some of this from Joe Biden yesterday. So Joe Biden, he announced, he signed the bill into law that Juneteenth is now a federal holiday. And then he said, but we have to do more, right? And this is where the right starts to react like, well, maybe we shouldn't have given him Juneteenth. You're not giving him Juneteenth. Okay, Juneteenth is a celebration of America. It's not a celebration of Joe Biden's stupid agenda. But here was Joe Biden trying to make it into a celebration of his stupid agenda.
The truth is, it's not simply not enough just to commemorate Juneteenth. After all, the emancipation of enslaved black Americans didn't mark the end of America's work to deliver on the promise of equality. It only marked the beginning. To honor the true meaning of Juneteenth, we have to continue toward that promise because we've not gotten there yet. The Vice President and I and our entire administration and all of you in this room are committed to doing just that.
Right. So this is why you're seeing a backlash. American politics is so reactionary. I mean, it's true everywhere, but it's so true in American politics. People cannot hold two thoughts at once. So there are a bunch of people on the left that are like, if you like Juneteenth, then you have to embrace critical race theory. That's literally an article that was leading Huffington Post yesterday by a woman named Taryn Finley called The Hypocrisy of Honoring Juneteenth While Condemning Critical Race Theory. America has found itself at a contradictory point in history yet again. On Tuesday, the Senate unanimously passed a bill to make Juneteenth, the day that marked the end of enslavement in the United States on June 19th, 1865, a federal holiday. I mean, that's not actually historically correct, actually. What Juneteenth was an announcement in 2 years after the Emancipation Proclamation to slaves in Texas that they were free. But that was actually, I mean, if you want to talk about the actual end of slavery in the United States, you have to talk about the 13th Amendment to the Constitution. In any case, this person argues, social media users have pointed out how the irony of lawmakers' overwhelming support for making Juneteenth a federal holiday compared to their stalled approach to fighting current racial discrimination and injustice, including through the John Lewis Voting Rights Act. Ah, yes. Unless you believe everything the left believes, you're not allowed to celebrate Juneteenth. Hey, how dare you? It's just terrible. I mean, you have to respect critical race theory and believe that all of America's institutions are underscored and deeply intertwined with racism. Now, it seems to me that Juneteenth is actually a pretty forcible rebuttal to that. The Constitution of the United States was actively changed via the amendment process in order to get rid of slavery. It was working within the legal processes of the United States that the Civil Rights Act was passed. It is the processes and liberties guaranteed by the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution that have allowed for the massive change that has led to racial equality in the United States. Right? Like that's all within the system. So if those systems are so bad, then why is it that we were able to alleviate so many of these problems within the system? In fact, Juneteenth is a celebration of the system being upheld, right? If the system had not been upheld, then you would have two separate countries in the United States. Okay, but again, the left-wing point of view is that you're not allowed to celebrate Juneteenth unless you also embrace everything we want you to embrace. Eugene Robinson at the Washington Post says the same thing. It says, making Juneteenth, the anniversary of the day news of emancipation finally reached enslaved people in Galveston, Texas, a national holiday, is a victory. But it's a hollow victory at a moment when the political party that won the Civil War and made that freedom a permanent reality is now moving heaven and earth to keep African Americans from voting. Again, that's just a lie. Okay, no one is trying to stop black people from voting. There is no good evidence of widespread voter suppression or even moderate voter suppression in the United States. It is all a lie. It's just as much of a lie as the notion that elections are being stolen on a wide scale with hundreds of millions of votes being, like, the same people who are yelling to the moon about how Biden legitimately won, and anybody who questions that is a big problem. They're saying voter suppression is being promulgated every single day without any evidence. And Joe Biden lies about this kind of crap. So here is Joe Biden lying about it while pushing Juneteenth.
It's not going to be fulfilled so long as the sacred right to vote remains under attack. From restrictive laws, threats of intimidation, voter purges, and more. An assault that offends the very democracy, our very democracy. We can't rest till the promise of equality is fulfilled for every one of us in every corner of this nation. That, to me, is the meaning of Juneteenth.
Right. The meaning of Juneteenth is do what I want. Right. And so the predictable result has been from some on the right, okay, well, what if we just don't do what you want and we don't give you Juneteenth? And the answer is you're not giving Joe Biden Juneteenth. Juneteenth has been an American holiday in Texas for many, many years because it is a celebration of America. America freed its slaves. America promulgated racial equality. The richest black people on planet Earth live in America. Average household income for black Americans is higher than average household income for black people anywhere on the planet. Okay, this is a wonderful, wonderful country. Juneteenth is a celebration of that. The left thinks Juneteenth is a celebration of how America sucks. And so the right, a few people, I'd say a segment of the right, is reacting to that by saying, well, if they say America sucks based on Juneteenth, let's just not do Juneteenth. It's all just reactionary ping-ponging. Okay, but you can see the left pushing this kind of crap, and it's insane. Okay, you have AOC doing the same thing. It's essentially tying Juneteenth to critical race theory. So, oh, the reason that people are denying Juneteenth is because they also deny critical race theory. Well, what if I like the idea of celebrating the end of slavery and also think critical race theory is bunk? In part because we ended slavery. Here's AOC being her normal genius self.
Whether it's trying to fight against teaching basic history around racism and the role of racism in U.S. history to, you know, there's a direct through line from that to denying Juneteenth, the day that is widely recognized and celebrated as the symbolic kind of day that to represent the end of slavery in the United States, you know, there's a direct through line between that denial of our history and wanting to understand the full scope of our history and celebrating the end, a major end of injustice in the United States.
Okay, so what the left is lying about, what they're lying about is they're tying Juneteenth to critical race theory. They're saying they're one and the same. So you can't do one without the other. And the right, some on the right say, okay, well, fine, so we won't do either. And the answer is no. Two things can be true at once. Juneteenth is good and critical race theory is bad. That is very easy to do. And it also happens to be the truth. And you know how you fight, you can see the game the left is playing here. And it's really a quite despicable game. Again, taking elements of American history that should unify us, like, you know, America ending slavery, and turning it into a point of division in order to suggest that all of America's institutions are hierarchical in nature and must be torn to the ground. And the fact is that I will acknowledge, I'm amazed at the extent to which critical race theory has taken over our institutions. Truly. It's amazing. Perfect example. So, this week, there was a questioning for Chief of Naval Operations Admiral Michael Gilday. The Chief of Naval Operations had put out a list of recommended books to members of the Navy, including Ibram X. Kendi's garbage, fascist, tyrannical, racist book, How to Be Anti-Racist. It is a piece of crap, that book. It is a terrible, terrible book. Again, not calling for its suppression, because I believe in free speech. You should read the book, and then you should recognize how stupid it is. Okay, but being recommended in America's military? A book that basically argues that America is inevitably and inherently racist and evil, and that active discriminatory measures must be taken today? Okay, so Admiral Gilday, was questioned by Republican Study Committee Chairman Jim Banks, and he defended all this. He said, no, it's very good. Critical race theory needs to be taught to the members of America's military. Now, it needs to be fought in America's military is what needs to happen.
Admiral, why did you put this book on the reading list and recommend it that every single United States sailor read it?
Because I think it's really important to consider a variety of views.
Admiral, you said you read this book. What part of this book is redeeming and qualifies as something that every sailor in the United States needs to read it?
About his own journey as an African American in this country, what he's experienced.
Let me ask you again, Admiral. Do you expect that after sailors read this book that says that the United States Navy is racist, that we will increase or decrease morale, cohesion, and recruiting race into the United States Navy?
I think we'll be a better Navy from having open, honest conversations about racism.
It's not an open, honest conversation about racism. And this is the lie that people who have now wormed their way into the heights of all of America's institutions continue to promulgate this stuff. This is why, and by the way, it's just, honestly, it's an avoidance technique. For so many members of the left who don't want to govern and be good at their jobs, it's an avoidance technique. You suck at your job, and so you blame racism and talk about how racism is the big specter out there lurking that is causing you to suck at your job. Okay, so, again, celebrate the country by celebrating the good that it does and recognize that the left will always attempt to use everything as a club to beat you into submission. It's why the left can't just accept the unification of Juneteenth and instead tries to turn it immediately into a divisive issue about the continuing evils of the United States, which, by the way, is a message directly contrary to the message of actually Juneteenth. You're listening to The Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Jason Walker. Republican lawmakers calling on President Biden to get a checkup. Correspondent Bernie Bennett has more on that story.
Texas Republican Ronnie Jackson led a group of 14 Republicans who sent Mr. Biden a letter Thursday urging him to take a cognitive test and make the results public. The freshman congressman served as White House physician under former Presidents George W. Bush, Barack Obama, and Donald Trump. In 2018, he gave Mr. Trump a clean bill of health after an annual physical and cognitive test that came amid questions about the former president's mental fitness to serve. The Trump campaign made Mr. Biden's mental fitness a major piece of its 2020 campaign. The 78-year-old Biden is the oldest president in American history. Bernie Bennett, Capitol Hill.
Some attendees at a conference in Florida Friday heckled former Vice President Mike Pence. Several shouted traitor as he addressed the Faith and Freedom Coalition's Road to Majority Policy conference in Orlando. Also at townhall.com, diplomats at the UN General Assembly expected to approve a resolution calling on Myanmar's military junta to restore the country's democratic transition. Infrastructure plan the congressional Democrats have developed has swelled.
$6 trillion. That's the price tag on the massive infrastructure investment plan congressional Democrats are now crafting, even as negotiations on a smaller bipartisan package continue. The emerging Democratic plan includes lowering Medicare eligibility to age 60. Democrats also want to provide legal status for certain immigrants, including so-called Dreamers. Aides not authorized to publicly discuss the private deliberations confirmed the emerging plan. Half of the $6 trillion would be paid for with proposed taxes on corporations and those earning more than $400,000. Meantime, the bipartisan negotiating group working on a nearly $1 trillion...
That is Mike Gracia reporting. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Are you a successful advertising sales professional? Are you happy with your current company? I'm Mike Reed, Senior Vice President of Salem Media Representatives. 2020 was a record year for our company, and that momentum has carried over to this year. As a result, we are looking to expand our sales team. Each day, our national marketing strategists work with CEOs, chief marketing officers, ad agency executives, and buyers to construct successful multimedia ad campaigns. Salem Media Representatives represents hundreds of radio stations, including several of America's largest contemporary Christian music stations, the Salem Radio Network talk shows, and the Salem Podcast and Influencer Networks. Our national marketing strategists enjoy a competitive yet positive management-supportive environment and a competitive compensation package. If you're a successful advertising sales professional, let's talk. Email us your resume at sales@salemreps.com. That's sales@salemreps.com. Salem Media Representatives is a division of Salem Media Group, an equal opportunity employer.
The North American International Auto Show returns to Detroit next year. Ron DeRockstra reports.
But with smaller indoor displays and more emphasis on experiencing vehicles and technology outside. The show was canceled last year due to the pandemic, and it will be replaced this year by an outdoor event at a racetrack. Executive Director Rod Alberts says there will be an event in the city's downtown next year, but he told the Automotive Press Association of Detroit the show can't keep doing what it did in the past with elaborate and costly multi-story displays from automakers. Ron DeRockstra reporting.
Soccer star Christian Eriksen discharged from the hospital a week after collapsing on the field during a European Championship match. Danish Soccer Federation says Eriksen has had a surgery, and has a pacemaker and defibrillator now. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. A new study finding many Americans are relaxing precautions taken during the pandemic and resuming everyday activities, even as some worry the virus-related restrictions were lifted much too quickly. But most are ready to get back into the game. In this case, a Major League Baseball game.
This is our fourth stadium in 2 weeks, so we are so happy to have baseball back. It has been two long years without it.
That is baseball fan Alicia Walter in Washington at Nationals Park, adding she's happy with the reopening pace.
It's not too fast. There's still options to socially distance. There's still options to stay distant from people and wear your masks if we want to. So I think it's a good balance between too fast and not fast enough.
Canada's public safety minister says border restrictions with the U.S. will be extended until July 21st. More on these stories at townhall.com.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. The Ben Shapiro Show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. For peace of mind whenever you go online, visit ExpressVPN.com/Ben. Well, June 19th, tomorrow, marks actual Juneteenth. And of course, Juneteenth is the date on which slaves in Texas were notified in 1865, like 2 years after the Emancipation Proclamation, that the Emancipation Proclamation had actually been issued. It's been celebrated in Texas for decades. It's now a national federal holiday. And in my view, that is a good thing. I think it's a unifying thing that Americans celebrate the end of slavery. Right? Seems good. Well, here's the thing. The left is using that as an excuse in order to push critical race theory. And so much of this is about white upper crust elite folks in the media trying to make themselves greater than by dissociation. We're not like all these other evil white folks. We are willing to embrace the sins of America that continue today and work to alleviate those sins because we are the good ones. And this sort of bizarre elitist thinking exists largely in the halls of media, in academia. It's the kind of phenomenon that Shelby Steele talks about in his book, White Guilt. The white people who want to maintain control over centers of power by declaring that only they can fix, only they can solve racism because they're the good ones. They're the good white people, not like those other white people. Alison Camerota was doing this routine on CNN yesterday, confessing her racial ignorance on camera. And just to show what a great person she is, right? Because the more you confess, the more praiseworthy one is. So here she was yesterday talking about Juneteenth. And this is all the predicate for the idea that then these people who confess their ignorance and who declare that America is systemically racist, that they should teach their children about it. Here's Alison Camerota.
This year has been a humbling experience for many white folks, myself included, in how woefully uninformed we are about some major historical moments. I mean, between Juneteenth, between the Tulsa massacre, and the idea that only 7% of white Americans know this history, how do we change that?
Okay, I mean, the way that you change that is you actually teach about that history, but not in the form of critical race theory. The answer that Alison Camerota and so many others apparently want to push is that you teach that America is systemically racist and that the Tulsa race riot slash massacre that happened in 1921 is exactly the same as what is happening in the United States in 2021. Right? That the legacy of Juneteenth isn't that America is a racially progressive country that not only eviscerated slavery, but then blatantly made illegal discrimination. But that America is a consistently racist place. And if we teach your kids that in school, it's a good thing. It's better for them. And in fact, you as a parent, you shouldn't be concerned if we indoctrinate your kids in this. So MSNBC featured a panel yesterday in which one of the reporters who is being questioned explained that parents, this NBC's Brandi Zadrozny, she attacked the Heritage Foundation for pointing out that a lot of school boards were leveraging CRT, critical race theory, into teaching. The Heritage Foundation had used Freedom of Information Act requests in order to determine what kids are learning in the classroom. So Brandi Zadrozny, who's not a reporter, she's an activist working for NBC. She was on with Chris Hayes, and they were both explaining that parents really should not worry about what their kids are learning in schools. After all, the experts know best.
freedom of information laws are wonderful things, but it is, in fact, a tactic of national and just hyper and fast-growing local organizations to use onerous public records requests. So what we'll see, what we saw in Maine, is asking for all of these records requests of, you know, how much money did you spend on anything involving race? And then that is used to sort of frame, again, the school board as being, as paying CRT, which again is just not the case.
Okay, so you should not be, as a parent, concerned. Don't use FOIA requests. Sure, we as reporters use them, but you should not do this with your local school board. It's just onerous, you know? It's hard for them to actually tell you what they're doing inside the classroom. Okay, here's the thing. This is really not a divisive issue. Most Americans do not want their kids to learn the lie that you are either privileged or non-privileged based solely on race in the United States, because it isn't true. A video went viral yesterday, and it's a pretty terrific video, is a black parent in Illinois speaking at a school board meeting and just tearing into critical race theory.
You going to deliberately teach kids this white kid right here got it better than you because he's white? You going to personally tell a white kid, oh, the black people are all down and suppressed? How do I have two medical degrees if I'm sitting here oppressed? How do I get, first of all, we've only got 5 minutes now, 5 minutes. Two medical degrees, no mom, no dad in the house, worked my way through college, sat there and hustled my butt off to get through college. You going to tell me somebody that looked like all y'all white folks kept me from doing that? Are you serious?
Okay, and good for him. Good for him. And most Americans should feel like this guy. Okay, what he is expressing is what most Americans believe and heretofore have believed. But we have an entire wing of American politics that declares that this guy is a villain. He's a bad guy. Right? He earned two medical degrees, no mom, no dad, worked his way through college, but he's the bad guy because, you see, he is just papering over the systemic discrimination that exists in American society. If you point at somebody like him and you say, listen, if a guy like him can make it, maybe you can make it too. If you say that, that means you're making excuses for a brutal and terrible system. If you point out that the highest earning Americans by household income in the United States are Indian Americans, Asian Americans, Nigerian Americans, if you point that out, you're just papering over the systemic discrimination of the American system. Critical race theory is, was, and always will be a cover for a redistributionist view of what institutions are designed to do. It's a racially redistributionist view. But even that is more of a tool being used by sort of Marxist philosophers than anything else. And it's ugly, and it's bad, and it shouldn't be taught to your kids. But there are people who believe it should be taught to your kids, and not only taught to your kids, used as an excuse by politicians. So anytime a politician fails, it's because that politician is rebelling against the system, and the system is just too strong. The system won this time. Right? That's the real problem. It's a really convenient CRT, this whole philosophy that America's systems are discriminatory and evil at this point in time. All of that is an excuse for failure by politicians, by powerful leaders, by individuals. It's an excuse. America is not a country of excuse makers. America is a country of doers of all races. People who understand that if they make good decisions in their life, they will end up better than they did at the beginning. And that happens to be a true message. We'll get to that in just 1 second. First, let us talk about the fact that this summer you're going to be back at it, enjoying your life. I'll tell you what you need, a great pair of wireless earbuds. You don't need to be wired up to your phone. You need to be wireless connected to your phone. A pair of wireless earbuds in your ears can make all the difference no matter what you're listening to. Get crisp, powerful beats at half the price of other premium audio brands. Raycons look great. They feel even better. They come in a range of cool colors with customizable gel tips included for a comfortable in-ear fit. Raycons are built to go wherever you do, with quick and seamless Bluetooth pairing and a compact charging case. Listen up right now. Raycon is offering 15% off all their products for my listeners. Here's what you've got to do to go get it. Go to buyraycon.com/Ben. That is 15% off at buyraycon.com/Ben. BuyRayCon.com/Ben. Whether I'm listening to music or listening to other people's podcasts or just on the phone with my wife, I use my Raycons all the time. They fit my ear perfectly because you can design them to do just that, and they come in a wide range of colors, so they look pretty cool as well. Check them out right now, buyraycon.com/Ben, 15% off when you do that. That's buyraycon.com/Ben. Now, speaking of people who are making excuses, as we've mentioned, Lori Lightfoot in Chicago, who's just been a garbage heap of a mayor, a terrible mayor, she has now announced that they will be using $10 million in COVID-19 relief funding from the Center for Disease Control and Prevention to create 6 healthy Chicago equity zones. Oh, equity zones. Excellent. The city is partnering with 6 community organizations as part of the health equity zones. These organizations are charged with creating community-based coalitions to develop strategies to improve wellness. CDIPH Commissioner Dr. Allison Arwadi says, as we continue to recover from the pandemic, these coalitions will also lead hyperlocal strategies to confront the risk factors, healthcare and social services access, food access, housing conditions, community safety, and the physical and built neighborhood environments. The announcement comes after the Chicago Department of Public Health released a study earlier this week on the health of Black Chicagoans. The report revealed a growing life expectancy gap between Black and non-Black residents, more than 9 years. City data also shows life expectancy is falling for Latinx and Asian residents as well. The report listed the factors as chronic diseases, homicides, infant mortality, HIV flu, and other infections and opioid overdoses. Okay, well, maybe the answer there is not systemic racism. Maybe the answer when it comes to, like, homicide is people shouldn't kill other people and you need more cops on the street, which Lori Lightfoot doesn't want. But instead, again, the convenience excuse for failure is always to blame forces other than yourself. Blaming systemic American racism for your failure as a mayor is a pretty convenient out. Here's Lori Lightfoot doing just that.
At almost every single point in our city's history, sadly, racism has taken a devastating toll on the health and well-being of our residents of color, and particularly those who are Black. And without formally acknowledging this history and reality and the continuing impact of that infamous legacy, looking at the root causes of today's challenges, we will never be able to move forward as a city and fully provide our communities with the resources that we need to live happy, vibrant, and fulfilled lives. That's why, ladies and gentlemen, I am here today with racial equity and healthcare leaders to formally declare systemic racism as a public health crisis.
Okay, I'm sorry, but declaring things a public health crisis that clearly are not a public health crisis is pretty amazing. It's like when they declare climate change a public health crisis. What are you going to do? Shoot the sun? Like, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? What are your measures to alleviate a specific problem? What is the specific problem you are seeking to alleviate? When you say systemic racism is a public health crisis, you are literally setting it up so that you will fail because there's no way to defeat systemic racism, according to these very advocates, unless you actively destroy the systems that are in place that got you elected mayor and that you run. It is just an excuse for not fixing the problem. You wouldn't accept this from anyone else in your life. If you went to your doctor and you said, listen, doc, I've got a pain right here in my knee. They said, well, you know, systemic racism is a health crisis. Like, what is that going to do for my knee? What are you even talking about right now? There are problems in the city of Chicago. People shooting each other at exorbitant rates. You have poverty. You have single motherhood. You have, like, a series of real public health emergencies, right? Or not public health emergencies, just emergencies in Chicago. The answer is not systemic racism. That's ghost hunting. What is your solution? Yeah, but the entire goal here is to avoid solutions. That is the entire goal. Understand that for the left, all conversations are not about solutions. Politics is supposed to be the art of solution making, right? Politics is about compromise, coming together to fix problems that plague the body politic. That's what politics is. The left's goal is to be about problems and never solve them while you give them more power to control your life. In essence, that is what the left wants from you. And if you question any of this, then they say that it's because of your white privilege. This is a little Kafka trap they lay for you. They say, we're not going to solve any problems because all the problems are unsolvable. Systemic racism. It's an emergency. And you say, well, that sounds bad. That doesn't make any sense. So that's your white privilege talking. That's what Don Lemon was doing on CNN last night. Here is Don Lemon being his usual intelligent self.
That's your idea of, that's the whole thing about what privilege is that you people don't like to have their pleasure interrupted, their peace interrupted. And so people think that it should be the way that it should be because they have been taught that in this country.
Okay, so there you have it. Don Lemon declaring that you, in fact, are a bad person if you oppose any of this nonsense. All of it is excuse making. All of it is about power. Again, the left is always implying that principle for the right is really about power. Nope. The part that's about power for the left is everything. And for the left, that's true. There are no principles. There is only power. Alrighty, coming up, speaking of power before principles, Stacey Abrams is now endorsing Joe Manchin's bill on voting. Kind of demonstrates how dishonest she is as a human. We'll get to that in just 1 second first. Let us talk about the fact now is a great time to refinance your mortgage. When you shop for a mortgage, it's important to understand each program has unique benefits that cater to a certain type of borrower. There's more to it than just a rate. So before you make any sudden moves, ask yourself, what's going to help you right now? What's your goal for the future? And as you consider those answers, I want to take a moment to remind you there's a company out there, a family-owned lender, that truly has your best interests in mind for now and in the future. I'm talking, of course, about American Financing. Their custom loan programs can actually save customers up to $1,000 a month. It's simply because they look at your entire financial picture. They're going to do everything they can to save you the most money over at American Financing. They really are in it for you. Find out for yourself. Call 866-721-3300. That is 866-721-3300. Or visit AmericanFinancing.net, American Financing, NMLS, 182334, NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Again, right now is a great time to refi that mortgage. And when you refi that mortgage, again, you're going to be saving yourself maybe hundreds of bucks a month. It's your biggest monthly bill. Why not get that lowered by refiing with American Financing? Call them 866-721-3300 or AmericanFinancing.net. Alrighty, coming up, we'll get into Stacey Abrams. She now has decided to compromise with Joe Manchin. It says something about Stacey Abrams. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Maxwell, he was a runaway to rescue, great disposition. About 9 years ago, he was scratching a lot, and he started losing some hair. My vet, she says, oh, he must be allergic to the chicken. Another vet says, it's the grain. Third vet, she says, it's the weather, something in the air. And then somebody said,
DINOVITE.com.
I have been listening to the Dynavite ads, hearing about different stories of different people, and it just clicked. I got my first 90-day supply, and it took a grand total of 2 weeks. And the dog stopped itching, the hair stopped falling out.
Dynavite is nutrition.
And Maxwell loves it. Now he's close to 10, and the Dynavite is a big part of Maxwell's diet.
Dynavite for life.
You won't believe how happy your dog will be.
And he's a spectacular dog.
DINOVITE.com.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-715-9880.
That's right. Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and Annuity Rate Report. Both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-715-9880. That's 800-715-9880.
Sponsored by Annuity General. Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Are you drowning in IRS tax debt? Get ready for a toll-free hotline. Take advantage of new IRS tax forgiveness programs. Call Civic Tax Relief for free information now. Find out about the Fresh Start program that is now available through Civic Tax Relief. Civic Tax Relief's special tax hotline can help you discover all the relief programs you qualify for free. Just call 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So the Stacey Abrams bandwagon continues to grow. People pretending that she is an honest broker in the world of politics. She absolutely is not. So after labeling the Georgia voting law a complete disaster that required people to, you know, boycott the state, and then that turned out to be really, really bad politics, she then backed off of that after saying that the Georgia laws, the voting laws, are basically the new Jim Crow. Now she's endorsing a plan by Joe Manchin, a federalized plan that actually embraces many of the specific provisions of the Georgia law. So yesterday, Stacey Abrams, recognizing that Joe Manchin was not going to force forward H.R. 1 by getting rid of the filibuster, he wasn't just going to kill the filibuster, Stacey Abrams decided to jump on board with Manchin's bill. The problem, of course, is that Manchin's bill includes many of the exact same provisions Stacey Abrams opposed when they were Georgia law.
What Senator Manchin is putting forward are some basic building blocks that we need to ensure
that democracy is accessible no matter your geography. And those provisions that he is setting forth are strong ones that will create a level playing field, will create standards that do not vary from state to state, and I think will ensure that every American has improved access to the right to vote despite the onslaught of state legislation seeking to restrict access to the right to vote.
Okay, there's only one problem, which is that the Manchin bill actually includes, again, a bunch of provisions Stacey Abrams opposes. So, for example, it includes voter ID requirements. It pushes for more flexibility for state officials to remove voters from voter rolls. I thought that was the new Jim Crow to push for that sort of stuff. Now you got Stacey Abrams, the governor of Georgia, actually supporting this stuff? Amazing. Amazing. So, it's still not a good bill because the bill federalizes state election procedures. It should not. The federal government is not in charge of state election procedures. End of story. This is the point that Mitch McConnell was making. He came out, he said, no, I'm not going to vote for this bill because, again, it is seizing state power to handle its own election procedures and bringing it up to the federal level where people in the Democratic Party get to run it. No.
It still turns the Federal Election Commission from a judge into a prosecutor by taking away the 3-3 balance and making it 3-2 Democratic. And in what is of extraordinarily dubious constitutionality, would remove redistricting from state legislatures and hand it over to computers. Equally unacceptable, totally inappropriate. All Republicans, I think, will oppose that as well.
Okay, well, by the way, you know, so he's right about this. This is the H.R. 1 and S.1 are both bad bills. S.1 is much better than H.R. 1, but it's still not a good bill. There's this notion that you're going to get rid of partisan gerrymandering by having some sort of post-political group that decides on the congressional boundaries is just silliness. There is no such thing in American life. There just isn't. It's one of the reasons why you see McConnell there saying the FEC, you say you're going to have like non-political people there. Yeah, sure. No, there have to be 6 seats. It has to be 3-3. That is what ensures that there is at least some sort of gridlock. Okay, Stacey Abrams is endorsing Manchin's bill because she wants to get something out of this and doesn't want to look like a giant failure. But the more important story here is not McConnell opposing the bill. It's Stacey Abrams backing the bill because it demonstrates how utterly dishonest she was from the very start. So, for example, Manchin opposes a provision in the bill. It's probably going to be withdrawn to get rid expand no excuse absentee voting and public financing of elections. Well, she backs both those things. But here she is backing it. Oh, it's a wonderful bill. It's a great bill because she understands. Once again, Stacey Abrams likes to bite off politically more than she can chew, whether it's backing boycotts of Georgia businesses or whether it is pushing forward an H.R. 1 bill that is so radical in its revision of how voting is done in the United States that it violates the Constitution willy-nilly. So now she's back into, okay, well, I guess that what Joe Manchin's doing here is okay, except that what Joe Manchin is doing here is pretty much the same thing that Georgia law did on a wide variety of issues. In Manchin's meeting with GOP senators and civil rights groups, Republicans have expressed some support for the central tenets of the bill. Manchin also made it clear he has not changed his position on the filibuster. There were some people who had suggested he'd be okay with moving the filibuster down to 55, but he said, no, I'm not, in fact, doing that. Bottom line is that this is pretty much going nowhere, and it's going nowhere fast. But because it's going nowhere, because Manchin held it up, that means that now Abrams is on board with a bill that, again, mirrors all of the supposedly evil Jim Crow provisions that just a second ago she suggested were viciously racist. So that is where things currently lie on Senate Bill 1. So, well done, Stacey Abrams, once again. All right, meanwhile, a reporter is probably going to lose their job today after asking Nancy Pelosi a tough question about abortion. You're really not supposed to do this. So Nancy Pelosi was doing a presser, and somebody asked her straight up, is a 15-week-old fetus a human being? She's never going to answer this question. You know, as the good Catholic she is, she's never going to answer this very, very simple question.
The Supreme Court this fall will review a Mississippi law that bans most abortions after 15 weeks of pregnancy. Is an unborn baby at 15 weeks a human being?
Let me just say that I am a big supporter of Roe v. Wade. I am a mother of 5 children in 6 years. I think I have some standing on this issue as to respecting a woman's right to choose.
Is it a human being?
Yes. Yes, ma'am.
I'm just going to go right over to that one because that is what Nancy Pelosi does with regard to abortion. Same thing with Joe Biden. By the way, you notice that Joe Biden put out a statement yesterday. There were 2 Supreme Court decisions. He put out a statement on the one upholding Obamacare. Very, very excellent Catholic. Joe Biden had nothing to say about the Supreme Court decision upholding the ability of Catholic adoption agencies to exist. What a great Catholic he is. Nancy Pelosi, what a great Catholic she is as well. Again, everybody's entitled to their own religious beliefs. When we see articles in mainstream newspapers talking about the devoted Catholicism of Nancy Pelosi and Joe Biden, I have a few questions, guys, just a few. Already coming up, we're going to be speaking with Michael Pack. He is the director of Created Equal, brand new documentary about Clarence Thomas, now available at Daily Wire. For subscribers, go check it out. Code Justice gets you 20% off at Daily Wire today. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
KCNR, 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at am1460.com. Don't miss Free Fire Radio weekday mornings from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bott. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. From noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday night, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal to riding routes, pop culture, and unsung heroes in the North State. From 7 to 10, tune into Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. KCNR also has an incredible weekend lineup, including The Plotline, Jefferson State of Mind, Sovereign Minds, and We the People on KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com. High Noble Safe Company, formerly known as Cold Steel Safe Company at 2559 Larkspur Lane, offers only the highest quality safes, delivery, moving, and repair service available. They carry several brands, including High Noble, Browning, and American Security, just to name a few. High Noble has gun safes, home safes, and high security safes with stores in Redding, Roseville, and Petaluma. Call 530-223-5050. That's 530-223-5050. Or stop by High Noble Safe Company at 2559 Larkspur Lane today.
Did the Redding summer heat put a toll on your vehicle? Is your paint faded, peeling, or even scratched up? It'll get worse faster than you think. You may think it's way too expensive to have painted. Well, think again. You can bring it to Maaco here in Redding and get a professional paint job and save big with their $4.99 special. Maaco also has interest-free loans for up to a year OAC. Maaco, America's Body Shop, 3045 Crossroads Drive. Uh-oh. Better call Maaco, 226-0992. Have you been involved in a minor accident and find it's not big enough to go through your insurance company? Bring it to Maaco and get it fixed at a fraction of the cost. Remember, it's your choice where you go to have your vehicle repaired. Call Maaco for uncompromised quality, quick turnaround times, and all work backed by the National Maaco Warranty. Maaco, America's Body Shop. Stop in at 3045 Crossroads Drive or call 226-0992. Uh-oh. Better call Maaco, 226-0992.
This is RC from Tobacco and Brew, bringing you this month's Cigar of the Humidor. For this month, we're reviewing Arturo Fuentes Hemingway Classic. With curves of a supermodel, this Perfecto has a superbly balanced, toothy, and attenuated Cameroon wrapper, and pairs exquisitely with a complex filler and binder that indulges the palate with citrus, coffee, cocoa, and cedar. Come down to the shop for your Arturo Fuente Hemingway Classic today. 2143 Hilltop Drive, Reading.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822. Or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has the chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
You are invited to participate in the 16th annual 4-H FFA Community Barbecue, which will be held Saturday, July 10th from 3 to 7 p.m. at the Shasta District Fairgrounds. The drive-thru event includes your choice of lamb, pork, beef, or goat, with corn on the cob, barbecue beans, coleslaw, bread, and a drink. Tickets are $10 and are available for pre-sale from 4-H FFA members, the 4-H office, and Muse Trucking, or can be purchased at the barbecue. Please join us in making this a successful event.
Great supply.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Joining us on the line is Michael Pack. He is president of Manifold Productions, independent film and television production company, which he founded in 1977. And, of course, he has directed the brand new film Created Equal. It's now available over at Daily Wire to stream. All you have to do is use code JUSTICE for 20% off for your membership. It's a really important film. Michael, thanks so much for joining the show.
Thank you for having me on, Ben.
So, Michael, why don't you talk about why you decided to make the film? Obviously, Clarence Thomas is perhaps the most underappreciated public figure in modern American life. It's truly incredible that we've had all of this notorious RBG worship for her just basically being a down-the-line liberal, but apparently a groundbreaking because she is a woman. But Clarence Thomas, who is a man who grew up in the segregated South, essentially without parents, he was raised by his grandparents, and became not only a Supreme Court justice, one of the most important and influential Supreme Court justice of the modern era. They basically had to lobby to get him into like the National African American Museum of History. So what prompted making the film?
Well, several years ago, I heard from mutual acquaintances of mine and the justices that he was getting tired of having his image delineated by people who hated and distrusted him. And he was very tired of the media coverage of him and wanted to get his story out. He had written a memoir, but in the on television and film, it was being very distorted. So I knew very little about him, but I met him. And once I met him, it was obvious that he had a great personal story for just the reasons you just said, Ben. It's a great American story, a classic American story, a Horatio Alger story coming from, as you just said, dire poverty in the segregated South to being an associate justice of the Supreme Court. And it had many dramatic twists and turns, as you know. You know, he grew up in a Gullah-speaking part of island peninsula pinpoint just outside of Savannah. His first language was in English and in dire poverty. His mother moved to Savannah when he was 8 years old with him and his brother, where he experienced, as he said, he went from rural poverty to urban squalor. And there he was hungry, didn't have enough to eat, was cold. His mother would bring him to school. He'd just leave school, no one cared, and he'd wander the streets of Savannah. And after a couple years of this, she realized she couldn't take care of her two sons on her housekeeping salary and brought him to her father, her grandfather, to raise, just as you said. And that changed Justice Thomas's life around. He gave Justice Thomas discipline, ethics, the hard work, sent him to parochial schools. His grandfather was a Catholic, a rare thing in Savannah in those days. And the nuns, too, gave him discipline, hard work, and a decent education. They were segregated schools, but Clarence Thomas thrived. He wanted to be a priest. Not everybody knows that. He so liked Catholic school, and he enrolled in the seminary. And that was he was then one of the first African Americans in an all-white seminary. He was integrating it. And there he started to experience some segregation and prejudice. And that eventually made him lose his calling. On the day, for example, when Martin Luther King Jr. was shot, he heard a seminarian who was watching it on TV say, "I hope that son of a bitch dies." And that so horrified him that the church would let that go on, that could happen in a seminary, that he lost his faith. Then he became a radical. He went home and told his grandfather he wasn't going to be a priest. His grandfather kicked him out of the house, his only real father figure. And he went through a radical period where he felt, as he said, that race and racism explained everything. He went to the only place where you can get a scholarship, Holy Cross in Massachusetts. And he was a radical. He helped form the Black Student Union there. They invited Panthers to speak. He supported every radical, Stokely Carmichael, H. Rapp Brown. And it was only through seeing that radicalism lead to no result and failure that he eventually turned it around, came back to his faith, and became a conservative. And that is only half of the story, Ben, right? And then he goes to Washington, works for Reagan, is attacked by the left, and there's the dramatic story of his confirmation and the Anita Hill allegations, and then his many years on the court. So it's a great story. It was very hard to compress into 2 hours. I do not do it justice ever, but because it's a great story, and Justice Thomas was so great telling it, we wanted him to tell it rather than it be a comment on him with many different interviewees speaking. So it's really 2 hours of Justice Thomas looking right to camera, telling his story in his words. So you see the world as he sees it, with recreations and stock footage and stills and archives, but it's really a chance to hear what he thinks of the world. As you said in the lead-in, and he is one of the – he is unquestionably, whatever your politics, one of the most important thinkers today, and surely I'd say the most important African-American leader in America today. One should hear his views.
So, Michael, you briefly mentioned the Anita Hill hearings, and according to the left, this is the only important thing about Clarence Thomas. Literally the only important thing about his life is that America being apparently a evil – not only a patriarchy, but apparently an anti-black patriarchy, but somehow – attacking a black man. In any case, America being a terrible, horrible, systemically racist and patriarchal place upheld the evil of Clarence Thomas, and HBO makes movies about this. There are widespread perceptions on the left that Clarence Thomas is a serial sexual abuser of women because of Anita Hill's testimony. What's the actual story of what happened during the Anita Hill hearings? Because this has been sort of recapitulated and rewritten by history. At the time, the American public just did not believe Anita Hill. And now, of course, the media have declared that Anita Hill was not only believable, but everybody was wrong not to believe her. None of the evidence has shifted. The only thing that's shifted is their opinions about Clarence Thomas, apparently.
Well, that's right. It's a case study in the left not giving up. As you just said, at the end of those hearings, Americans believed Justice Thomas over Anita Hill 2-1. And that included African-Americans. That included women. But the left, as you just said, does not give up, and they continue to retell and tell that story in the intervening years, and they have probably flipped those proportions. And now they have convinced the world that Anita Hill was speaking truth to power. She's the godmother of the Me Too movement, et cetera. But I beg your listeners and viewers to watch the film, and then you'll see how Clarence Thomas experienced it, and you can make your own judgment. But I think the point, in a way, is that not only did the left keep telling that story, they kept up their attacks on Clarence Thomas, often in the most racist language. They called him an Uncle Tom. We have photographs of him being a shoeshine boy to Justice Scalia in a cartoon. Racist tropes that you could not use against anyone, even a white conservative, somehow was acceptable for Justice Thomas. And so that persisted, too, along with their version of the Anita Hill story.
So, Michael, this film comes out. It was originally available on Amazon, and then it just wasn't available on Amazon. So what happened there? What drove Amazon to basically remove the film from its available library?
Well, it's an amazing story, I think. The film started out in movie theaters. We had a limited theatrical run starting January of last year. Then the film was broadcast nationally via PBS in May, and it got great reviews both in movie theaters and on PBS in places like the Washington Post, not usually friendly to conservative films, and it won awards. And then we released it digitally last September, including on Amazon, and starting in October, Amazon had it on – you could buy or rent it on Amazon as well as get DVDs, and then it switched to Prime, and then – on February 8th, at the beginning of Black History Month, they eliminated the downloadable versions, the buy, rent, streaming, from their website. They gave no reason, and there was really a huge outcry. There were a lot of people wrote about it. A lot of people complained. If you go to the Amazon website, you can still even see their customers complaining on the website. There was a piece in the Wall Street Journal, among other places. And they simply refused to put it on. They claimed it was just an algorithm. They were eliminating documentaries at that time. But my feeling is, if it was just an algorithm, why didn't they put it back on? I mean, it was Black History Month, and it's been many months since then. They still have not put it back on. They put things back on all the time. Why not? I really can't speculate on what they're thinking, but I guess and I cannot imagine it. I mean, it's mind-boggling to take off to not allow your customers to hear the story of one of the, I think, the most prominent African-American leader today, but surely one of the top three, to take it off your website in the beginning of Black History Month is amazing. I can't imagine what their reasoning is.
Yeah, Michael, it makes it a little more suspicious that about the same time they removed your film, they also removed Shelby Steele's film briefly. Again, it was during Black History Month, and it is at least suspicious that the algorithm seems to take out only conservative films involving prominent conservative black men.
Another example of the algorithm problem, so the DVD you can still get from Amazon, but when you search Created Equal, the film is called Created Equal, Clarence Thomas in His Own Words. And if you search on Amazon, Created Equal, Clarence Thomas, you don't get it until the second page. First, you get Anita Hill films and RBG films, and Ruth Bader Ginsburg doesn't have any words in common with that search term. So you're right. It's the algorithms are at the very least suspicious.
So, Michael, you've been in the documentary business for obviously a very, very long time. This is not your first sort of bout with controversy. There was a lot of controversy that cropped up with your movie, The Last 600 Meters, which is a fantastic documentary. It really is good. It's about the Iraq War and the battle for Fallujah and the inability of the military to effectuate its goals precisely because of both media coverage and political unwillingness to do so. Maybe you can talk a little bit about the controversy that occasioned that film.
Well, that's right. We made this film, The Last 600 Meters, that was about the biggest battles in the Iraq War, Fallujah, as you said, but the first battle of Fallujah, then Najaf, then the second battle of Fallujah. And we aimed to tell the story from the point of view of the people there, the soldiers and Marines fighting it, from corporals up to one-star generals that were on the field, and not look at it politically. It would be like a battle story, as if it were D-Day or Gettysburg. And the principal funder was the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, but when it came time to broadcast it, PBS had problems with it. I have to say they did not have problems with the Clarence Thomas film, and I have had 13 or so films on PBS, but this one they had problems with. They felt they wanted me to add political material to it, spinning the war the way they wanted it spun. And I just refused to do it. I mean, not only did they want me to do that, they also didn't provide any funding to do it, but I wouldn't have done it anyway. But it was a typical, I have never had that experience. I'm not sure why. As you say, the film doesn't tell you what to think. You see how these battles played out and the thing that made it impossible for America to achieve its objective. But you see these, heroic young men and women that are fighting to preserve the freedoms of this country. And I think it was just too pro-military for PBS and or anybody else, and it was and it portrayed our enemies in a negative way. I mean, one of the things PBS wanted me to take out was the atrocities on the part of our enemies, which justified the Battle of Fallujah. If you take out the enemy's atrocities and you only have Marines coming in with all their force, it looks like they're just a mindless conquering force. So I wouldn't do that either. So I'm not sure. And we are searching hard for a home for it now, still, all these years later. We did get favorable reviews, including one by you, Ben, which I greatly appreciate. I think it is a great film. I think it's an amazing controversy and a sad state.
No, Michael Pack, go check out his latest film on Clarence Thomas, available at Daily Wire right now, streaming Created Equal. And again, with code JUSTICE, you get 20% off your membership over at DailyWire.com. Michael, thanks for making the film, and thanks for your time.
Thank you, Ben. And I also want to say that you and I have talked in the past that we on the right of center have to build the institutions that nurture and encourage filmmakers on our side, or they won't exist. There are plenty of such institutions on the left, from PBS to film schools to distribution companies to production companies to funding sources. And if we are ever going to have both sides on the air, we need to build up those institutions. And I salute your efforts to do that, Ben.
Well, I really appreciate that, Michael, and thanks so much. Alrighty, coming up, we're going to be getting to Ami Horowitz, who has been making some undercover videos. They are funny. I'll get to that in a moment. First, if you've been listening to the show for a while, you've heard me talk about my Helix Sleep mattress and how my children deprive me of sleep. That is why you need a mattress made just for you, because there are a lot of things that get you all upset during the day. But when you lie down on that mattress, your mattress should not be one of those things. You should have a mattress made just for you. Helix does that. But it's not just mattresses anymore. Helix has decided to expand outward. They now do couches. Yes. Sofas. Allform is making premium customizable sofas and chairs shipped directly to your door. What makes an Allform sofa really cool? Well, for starters, it's the easiest way you can customize a sofa using premium materials at a fraction of the cost of traditional stores. You can pick your fabric. It is spill, stain, scratch resistant. That means it's perfect if you have kids or pets. I need a durable sofa because of my children. And you can pick the sofa color, the color of the legs, sofa size, shape. Make sure it's perfect for you and your home. It's so comfortable. And it's modular, which means you can increase the size over the years. I have an Allform sofa. I've got the three-seat sofa with chaise in the sand color with espresso legs. Not only do I love my Allform, my mom loves her Allform as well because I got her one too. If getting a sofa without trying it in the store sounds risky, don't worry. You get 100 days to decide if you want to keep it. That's more than 3 months. And if you don't love it, they'll pick it up for free and give you a full refund. They offer a forever warranty, literally for the rest of your life. So to find your perfect sofa, check out allform.com/Ben. Allform is offering 20% off all orders for our listeners at allform.com/Ben. That is a heck of a deal on a great sofa, allform.com/Ben. Alrighty, coming up, Rami Horowitz went around New York City and he noticed a lot of people were still wearing their masks outside after being vaccinated, in spite of the CDC's new advisories. He asked people why. The video is quite funny. We'll talk to Ami coming up. You're listening to The Ben Shapiro Show.
I have two dogs, Sam and Bailey. Both are golden retrievers. Poor Sam, he was a mess. Always itching, his paws were soaking wet all day from just constant licking. He had bald spots on his back. I just don't like putting shots and steroids into your dog all the time.
DinoVite.com. DinoVite is nutrition.
Probably 2 weeks after he started DinoVite, I started seeing great improvements, and today 99% of his issues are non-existent. It's amazing stuff. Since Bailey has been 12 weeks old, he's been a DinoVite dog, and he has zero issues today. He won't eat his food without DinoVite. When I get out the DinoVite, my dogs actually salivate, like I'm getting them a treat. They drool over it. DinoVite is the best thing you can do for your dog.
You won't believe how happy your dog will be.
I get my DinoVite from DinoVite.com.
Paid for by Bar Justice. Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers: bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you: printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
America's kids are returning to class, in school and at home. And this year, learning is especially tough for kids who already struggle with poverty, emotional trauma, and other barriers. But Communities in Schools is helping by putting caring adults in schools to connect with kids. And now, we're reaching beyond school walls, tutoring, mentoring, and counseling students, providing resources for at-home learning, doing whatever it takes to make sure all kids have the opportunity to learn and succeed. For more information, visit communitiesinschools.org.
Science is not an opinion. People come before pipelines. It's not too late to act on climate. At Earth Justice, we hold these beliefs to be self-evident. We're a national legal nonprofit fighting for your right to a healthy environment. Our 150-plus lawyers represent clients free of charge, because now, more than ever, the Earth needs a good lawyer. If you believe what we believe, go to earthjustice.org today.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Joining us on the line is my friend Ami Horowitz, produces great YouTube and Facebook videos. They've garnered over 500 million views, and they've affected global change as well. You can check out his newest video in very short order over at dailywire.com. Ami, good to talk to you.
It's always a pleasure to be here, Ben. Thank you.
So, Ami, last time around, apparently this time around, you decided to head out to the streets of New York City and ask people a very simple question, why exactly they were still wearing masks outside, especially post-vaccination. And what is the situation with masking over there? So down here in Florida, people have been like, we're not doing this for months. Like, it's been over in Florida for quite a while. Frankly, we've all down here been bewildered at the rest of the United States, where people seem to continue to want to mask up in any sort of large numbers. What's the situation with masking over there right now?
Yeah, I mean, if you go back from the beginning of the process, masks really became a religion, right? And, I mean, it was a religion to the point where you were outwardly shamed if you were running in the park or walking outside without a mask. Even if you went on inside, I mean, it was incredible. I'd have people follow me with video cameras yelling at me. And then fast forward now, and of course they were always, you know, pointing out the science says we need to do it. Well, now the science was I think clear then, but it's perfectly clear now that we don't have to wear a mask when you're vaccinated out. Really don't have to wear one inside, but certainly outside. Yet, even after that, I would say at this point, we're still about a third of New York City is wearing masks outside in the park. While I see people wearing masks as they're on these like unicycles going down the middle of Broadway, which probably has a 25% chance of death on its own, but they're wearing masks. And it was really incredible. When I went out there to talk to them about why they're wearing the masks, they fell into three different buckets. Bucket one was, all my friends are wearing masks, and I don't want to be an outsider, and there's a lot of peer pressure to continue wearing masks. That was bucket one. Bucket two was, you know what? I got to be extra careful, man. Like, I really want to be safe. I don't know. Abundance of caution. And by the way, the whole abundance of caution bit, how many years later do you think we would have had a vaccine if we were still following Joe Biden's abundance of caution? Just to be clear, right? And the third bucket was, screw you. You guys weren't wearing masks during the height of the pandemic, so I'm going to wear my mask dafka, as a Hebrew word for, like, just because. And they would wear it just to say, hey, screw you guys. I want to show you that I am above you. I am so virtuous that I'm going to wear this mask. And I don't know which of those three buckets infuriates me the most. It really does. And I don't know, maybe I got to go see a therapist about this, but it has angered me. And it, like, really angers me when even friends of mine are still wearing masks. I'm like, dude, what are you doing? Like, are you so scared of life? I don't know, Ben.
The part that pisses me off is not even if an individual wants to be a moron and wear a mask after being vaccinated, now your chances of dying of this are significantly lower than your chances of dying of the flu. If you want to wear a mask because you're an idiot or because you're extraordinarily risk averse and you want to live in a bubble, that's your problem. What makes me angry is that these are the exact same people who are promulgating all of these regulations for a year. These are the people who are driving the bus for a year. And so if they were driving the bus for a year, and it turns out that now they weren't dedicated to the science, right? They weren't dedicated to protecting others. It was really just about the signaling or about the peer pressure. It retrospectively makes me angry. It makes me angry that these people controlled the way that we all lived for a full year, right? Based on not science, based on just nonsense. And the way that we're still continuing to live in many areas of the United States where, you know, the CDC still has not changed its guidance with regard to, like, children who are unvaccinated running around at summer camp. And that's not based on science. That's, again, based on the same sort of illogical suppositions that small children, number one, die of the thing, which they don't. And number two, the small children are passing this thing to each other in massive numbers, which they are not. So it makes me angry that these people control the system. If you want to be a risk-averse moron and wear a mask over your eyes and walk around, I guess that's your problem.
It's not science. It's dogma. So it really comes down to it's the idea that they feel more comfortable when the government is in control and telling them what to do. They like that. It really is a dress rehearsal for authoritarianism. I'm not saying that that's the next step, but I'm saying that we can see a shades of it now and through the entire pandemic, that people are willing to give up all of their rights, all of their freedoms for the sake or in the name of big government knows better than me. And that's ultimately what the dogma of the left really is about. And that's what this is really about, is that they know better than we do, and therefore I'm not going to put aside my personal freedom or even my personal thought process, what makes sense, it doesn't make sense, based on the dogma of big government. It's not about science. Never was about science.
Alrighty, folks, I also have a video on YouTube right now, the Ben Shapiro YouTube channel, reacting to Ami's video. I think it's pretty funny. You're going to want to check it out. Head on over to my YouTube channel right now. Ami, great to talk to you, and I'm glad that you've been doing some videos that keep you a little more safe. Because normally your videos involve you like parachuting into the middle of Hamasistan or something.
That changes in 2 weeks.
Oh no. Well, I will pray for you and your wife. Have a good weekend, dude.
You too. Bye, shalom.
Alrighty, we have reached the end of this week, but don't worry, we'll be back here on Monday. Try not to ruin everything while we're gone. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Jason Walker. Catholic bishops taking aim at President Biden.
U.S. Catholic bishops have overwhelmingly approved the drafting of a teaching document that many of them hope will rebuke Catholic politicians, including President Joe Biden, for receiving communion despite their support for abortion rights. The 168-55 vote was announced near the end of a three-day meeting of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops that was held virtually. Supporters say a strong rebuke of Biden is needed because of his recent actions protecting and expanding abortion access. Opponents warn that such action would portray the bishops as a partisan force during a time of bitter political divisions. I'm Walter Ratliff.
Gunmen have abducted scores of children from a school in northwest Nigeria, the second kidnapping from the school in about a week. Authorities say one police officer was killed in the attack. It's believed 70 children were abducted. Also at townhall.com, most people looking to cross the U.S. border into Canada we'll have to wait a bit longer.
Canada is extending its border restrictions on non-essential travel until July 21st. With less than 20% of Canadians fully vaccinated, Prime Minister Justin Trudeau says it's a matter of getting COVID-19 case numbers down. Canada's targets for loosening the restrictions are 75% of the population vaccinated with the first dose and at least 20% vaccinated with the second. Trudeau says while a fully vaccinated person is protected against hospitalization, others around them may not be. I'm Ben Thomas.
All kinds of weather, heavy rain on the Gulf Coast, major heat continuing in the western U.S., 128 in Death Valley, and in the Midwest, triple digits and very high humidity. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Tell me why Relief Factor is so successful in lowering or eliminating pain. I'm often asked that question. Pete and Seth Talbot, the father and son founders of Relief Factor, tell me they believe our bodies were designed to heal. The doctors who formulated Relief Factor selected the four best ingredients, 100% drug-free ingredients that each help your body deal with inflammation. Order the three-week quick start now. Discount it to only $19.95 to see if it will work for you too. Call 800-500-8384. ReliefFactor.com.
With a Democratic sweep officially in place, we are now at the mercy of tax and spend economics. Get ready for runaway national debt pushing the further devaluation of the dollar. So if you haven't invested in gold, now is the time to protect your savings. Birch Gold Group is the premier precious metals IRA company in America. With an A+ BBB rating and thousands of satisfied customers, Birch Gold can help you move an eligible IRA or 401k into an IRA backed by gold. Go to birchgold.com/radio for your free information kit. That's birchgold.com/radio.
President Biden says the nation's vaccination push leading to a milestone.
Thanks to this wartime response, we've gotten 300 million shots in the arms of Americans in 150 days, months ahead of what most anyone thought was possible when we started.
The president says the existing vaccines are highly effective against the virus variants.
The best way to protect yourself against these variants are to get fully vaccinated. So please, please, if you have one shot, get the second shot as soon as you can so you're fully vaccinated.
A judge in Kansas is beginning to evict tenants who are behind in rent. That in advance of a federal moratorium expiring at the end of the month. Judge says he just doesn't think the code is enforceable. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. NASA says the summer solstice in the northern hemisphere will officially happen Sunday night. Correspondent Ed Donahue says that means Monday will be the longest day of the year.
The farther north you are in the northern hemisphere, the longer the day. NASA's Alex Young says the Earth has a tilt orbiting around the sun.
During its year-long orbit, some parts of the Earth are facing towards the sun, and some are facing away from the sun.
NASA has several missions studying our sun, hoping to answer decades-old burning questions about the inner workings of our nearest star.
We have Parker Solar Probe, which is flying through the sun's atmosphere, giving us this up-close and personal look.
And there is the Solar Orbiter, which will be able to take the first images of the sun's poles, as well as investigate the heliosphere and solar wind. I'm Ed Donahue.
More on these stories at townhall.com.
Summer takes flight at Turtle Bay's Wings of Summer Butterfly Exhibit, open June 19th through August 15th. Experience hundreds of butterflies in a tranquil and enclosed garden. Access is free for Turtle Bay members and included with park admission. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300. A reputation for excellence since 1965.
Join us for Turtle Bay's Walk on the Wild Side Animal Show, running Tuesday to Sunday at 11 a.m. and noon. This fun-filled educational wildlife show gives you a special look at Turtle Bay's most beloved animals. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Hey, and welcome. This is The Ben Shapiro Show. The Ben Shapiro Show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. For peace of mind whenever you go online, visit expressvpn.com/Ben. Yesterday, the Supreme Court came down with a couple of big decisions. Both were somewhat expected. Both were, I would say, disappointments for conservatives. And you're seeing some conservatives today spin these decisions as not super disappointing for conservatives, but they're disappointing for conservatives. One of them less so than the other. So the first one was sort of expected. Okay, there was a case that was brought to the Supreme Court. The case was basically that Obamacare ought to be struck down in its entirety, which, of course, would throw the healthcare system into a bit of a mess, considering that Obamacare has now been implemented in the United States for nigh on a decade. And that means that it would undo a lot of what's already been done in terms of public, in terms of Obamacare options available, a number of people who are already on Obamacare options and subsidy schemes that have been created. Now, the reality when it comes to Obamacare is that Obamacare has not been the sort of panacea that everybody on the left suggested it was going to be. It has not been sort of the end of the world, as some of us thought that it would be, but it certainly has not succeeded in bringing down the price of healthcare overall. Megan McArdle over at the Washington Post has a very good piece on this. She points out that some of her critiques, she's a big critic of Obamacare, some of those critiques were right, some of them were a little bit overblown. She says, first, I doubted we would improve our overly complex balkanized healthcare system with yet another major program that would make it even more complicated. Second, I feared committing more than $100 billion to new spending every year at a time when we hadn't even figured out how to pay for existing entitlement programs. Third, I worried that having the government subsidize even more of our medical bills would lead to price pressure, particularly on pharmaceuticals and medical devices, which in turn would reduce incentives for innovation. And fourth, I simply didn't believe many of the claims supporters were making, explicitly or implicitly, about Obamacare dramatically reducing healthcare costs or bankruptcies or infant mortality or improving lifespans. So the complications of the healthcare system remain complications. Right, so she was right about that. The system has not gotten any simpler for pretty much anybody. Also, with regard to innovation, innovation continues to happen in the American healthcare system. That is largely the result of the American healthcare system still, after Obamacare, being more privatized than European healthcare systems, and also due to the fact that we provide pretty serious patent protection for our drug and pharmaceutical manufacturers. Now, obviously, there are attempts to roll that back and to allow the American healthcare system to bargain collectively with pharmaceutical makers. And you've seen the Biden administration try to crack down even further on innovation by doing things like getting rid of patent protection for mRNA vaccines that just saved the world from this pandemic. As far as the fiscal crisis, yes, Obamacare costs a lot of money. Also, we are spending more money than God anyway, is the point that Megan McArdle is making. But the final sort of concern, which is that this wasn't going to bring down costs, that is exactly right. And as Megan McArdle points out, Obamacare supporters talked a lot about illnesses contributing to more than half of all bankruptcies, which implied there should have been a sharp decrease in 2014 when Obamacare took effect. There was not. Also, infant mortality has not decreased. It's pretty much the same. Also, Obamacare supporters claimed that tens of thousands of people were dying every year because they didn't have health insurance, and that suggested that by 2019, our mortality rate should be substantially lower. Instead, mortality rates actually leveled off around the time of Obamacare. They said that they were going to reduce healthcare costs, and that didn't happen either. Okay, so bottom line is, Obamacare hasn't done much except add to the costs and add to the complications. Okay, the one thing that Obamacare really did is it, again, shifted the nature of the balance between the government and the American citizen. Right, this is the problem with the original Obamacare Supreme Court decision and Obamacare in its essence, which is, before this, there was no notion in American law, before Obamacare, there was no notion in American law, really, that the government could punish you for living and not doing something the government wanted you to do. Right? Typically, you'd have to violate a law. But now, thanks to Obamacare, the federal government could mandate that you purchase a product. Right? That was the new thing. The federal government getting into the business of forcing you to purchase a product. Now, you'll remember that the federal Congress does not have the power to do that. The federal government has the power to tax, but the federal government does not have the power to issue some sort of penalty fee for you not buying a product, which is why the original Obamacare case was twisted by John Roberts, who is truly a bad chief justice, was twisted by John Roberts in order so that Obamacare would be preserved. The way he did this is he completely rewrote Obamacare law, and he suggested that Obamacare itself was not a penalty, right? There was no the individual mandate was not a penalty attaching if you didn't buy Obamacare or have health insurance. Instead, Obamacare was a tax, right? The individual mandate wasn't a mandate, it was a tax. It wasn't a fee, it was a tax, because the government has the power to tax. And the people who criticized this said, well, it doesn't say anywhere in the law it's a tax. The people who were arguing in favor of the individual mandate explicitly said it was not a tax. And not only that, what sort of tax applies only to people who do X or to do Y, right? That doesn't make any sense. Taxes typically apply to an entire spectrum of activity, right? They apply to anybody who owns it. Property taxes apply if you own a house. Here, you're getting a tax if you don't do something the government wants you to do, which is really weird. That's normally like a penalty. Okay, so the original Obamacare decision was a travesty of justice. It was originally. And then there's a second case that was brought against Obamacare, and it pointed out that Obamacare's language had been explicitly designed to provide subsidies for particular states, but not via the federal government. Okay, and it was a little bit complex, but the bottom line is that it was actually a pretty good claim. The Supreme Court threw that out also in order to preserve Obamacare, because again, Chief Justice John Roberts believes that his sole role in the American governing system is to quote unquote preserve the legitimacy of the Supreme Court. What this has meant in practice is preserving heavy pieces of legislation that are left-wing status quo, and then curbing any sort of judicial pushback to the legislative overreach of the left. Right. So whenever there's a left-wing decision that really preserves a large piece of legislation, then John Roberts is on board because he doesn't believe in quote-unquote judicial activism. Now, he has redefined judicial activism to mean something different than it actually means. Judicial activism typically means that you are reading your own priorities into the law. John Roberts has redefined that to mean anytime the Supreme Court overrules Congress on a major issue, this is quote-unquote judicial activism, which is silly. Literally, the job of the Supreme Court, if you believe in judicial review, is to overrule the Congress when the Congress is in conflict with the Constitution. John Roberts believes that when the judiciary is in conflict with the legislature as a general rule, that's a bad thing for the judiciary, and therefore, you can constantly find him trying to uphold very controversial pieces of legislation, up to and including Obamacare, simply by rewriting the laws. So, when it comes to the left, he wants to preserve the law in order to, quote unquote, preserve the Supreme Court. When it comes to decisions on the right, you will find him seeking unanimity rather than creating wide sweeping decisions that actually protect liberty. So instead, he will attempt to go for a 9-0 decision that limits the scope of liberty instead of going for like a 6-3 decision in which he would be in the majority that expands the scope of liberty. All right. So this Obamacare decision, there is so basically the Congress under Donald Trump in 2017, Republicans controlled Congress. And you remember, there was this big fight over whether to repeal Obamacare. And I remember John McCain standing up there and giving the thumbs down and the left cheering and all of that. Well, one thing Congress did do is they effectually got rid of the individual mandate. The way they got rid of the individual mandate, which creates all sorts of problems for the funding of Obamacare generally, because if you can't punish people for not getting Obamacare, then why exactly would they get Obamacare in the first place? Right? That really was a big question. What Congress did is they took the individual mandate, quote unquote, tax down to $0. Now, this provided sort of a problem because if the idea from the Supreme Court is that Obamacare's individual mandate was not a fee, it was not a penalty, it was a tax, then once you take the tax down to zero, it's no longer a tax. Okay, well, if it's no longer a tax, then the entire funding mechanism for the bill sort of tends to fall apart, or at least part of the funding mechanism tends to fall apart. And the argument states we're making is that that provision of the bill, this quote tax, which makes the bill constitutional, is no longer effectual, right? There is no tax anymore. So there is no actual way for the bill to be constitutional. And so this was the issue before the Supreme Court. It seems sort of technical, and it is, in fact, sort of technical. So technical, in fact, that the reason this decision is 7-2 is because Justice Thomas, who, of course, is the most conservative member of the court, the most originalist member of the court, and the seminal figure in American legal thinking. Right? I'm a bigger fan of Justice Thomas than I was even of Justice Scalia. I like Scalia a lot. I think Thomas is a superior justice in a variety of ways. In fact, if you want to know more about Justice Thomas on a personal level, you should go check out a brand new documentary that we have over at Daily Wire, right now streaming, Created Equal. And go check that out. We'll talk about that a little bit later on in the program because it really is great. But Justice Thomas, he put out a concurrence. He ruled in favor of upholding Obamacare here. Why? He acknowledges full well that the states are correct that once you get rid of the individual mandate tax, that the tax itself is no longer operative. And once it's no longer operative, the entire bill could theoretically become non-operative. Right? He agrees with this basic argument. So here's what Justice Thomas writes in his dissent, or rather in his concurrence. He says, according to the government, the mandate was, quote, necessary to make other reforms effective. It noted that Congress's findings expressly state that enforcement of those provisions without a minimum coverage provision would restrict the availability of health insurance and make it less affordable, the opposite of Congress's goals in enacting the Affordable Care Act. It was widely thought that without the mandate, much of the act and perhaps even the whole scheme would collapse. This court also embraced that view when we re-encountered the act in 2015. That was another case, this is the second case I talked about where they upheld Obamacare, where they redefined the state to mean state or federal government. The court explained that, quote, Congress had found that the guaranteed issue and community rating requirements would not work without the mandate. But times have changed. In this suit, the plaintiffs assert this would be the Obama administration and this would be the states that they're suing to get rid of the individual mandate and the Obamacare entirely. In this suit, the plaintiffs assert the mandate is unconstitutional because it no longer imposes financial consequences and thus cannot be justified as a tax. Given that the mandate is unconstitutional, other portions of the act that actually harm the plaintiffs must fall with it. Now, the current administration contends the mandate can, in fact, be severed from the rest of the act. Okay, but here's the bottom line. Bottom line is that what Justice Thomas finds is, well, he says that the plaintiffs here have a pretty good case that the entire act is unconstitutional. They don't actually have standing in order to bring the case. So standing, as we've spoken about on the program before, standing is a doctrine that says that you can only sue to get rid of a law if the law has done you some damage, if the law has done you some harm. So if a bus were to hit one of my producers, I cannot sue you for that. It has not harmed me personally. My producer's family could sue, but I can't sue. I don't have standing. Same thing here. So basically, Thomas says, if you get rid of the individual mandate to the extent that there's a $0 tax, there's effectively no damage done to the states. The state can't actually sue. The states instead sort of, kind of, but didn't really make the argument that the whole act hurts them. And so if you can use this as a lever to get rid of the whole act, that gives you standing. He rejects that standing argument. So that's the Obamacare decision. Okay, and the Obamacare decision, again, not totally unexpected. Even people on the right sort of thought that the case itself was somewhat weak. That's not where I think the real disappointment is not really in this case upholding Obamacare. Again, the big cases against Obamacare were brought in 2012, and those cases were rejected by the Roberts Supreme Court on really flimsy grounds. Okay, the real disappointment that I have is for a decision that conservatives supposedly won. Alrighty, coming up, there is another Supreme Court decision that came down yesterday. Conservatives are saying they're happy about it. I don't understand why. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Maxwell, he was a runaway to rescue, great disposition. About 9 years ago, he was scratching a lot, and he started losing some hair. My vet, she says, oh, he must be allergic to the chicken. Another vet said, it's the grain. Third vet, she said, it's the weather, something in the air. And then somebody said,
DINOVITE.com.
I have been listening to the Dynavite ads, hearing about different stories of different people, and it just clicked. I got my first 90-day supply, and it took a grand total of 2 weeks. And the dog stopped itching, the hair stopped falling out,
Dynavite is nutrition.
And Maxwell loves it. Now he's close to 10. And the Dynavite is a big part of Maxwell's diet.
Dynavite for life.
You won't believe how happy your dog will be.
And he's a spectacular dog.
DINOVITE.com.
America's kids are returning to class, in school and at home. And this year, learning is especially tough for kids who already struggle with poverty, emotional trauma, and other barriers. But Communities in Schools is helping by putting caring adults in schools to connect with kids. And now, we're reaching beyond school walls, tutoring, mentoring, and counseling students, providing resources for at-home learning, doing whatever it takes to make sure all kids have the opportunity to learn and succeed. For more information, visit communitiesinschools.org.
Meet Bob Minetti. In 2016, he was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. Bob participated in a clinical trial that included cutting-edge radiation therapy and surgery. He's been in remission since completion. I'm Keisha Sharp. Since losing my mother to pancreatic cancer, I've been working to share the kind of state-of-the-art work being done by Stand Up to Cancer and Lustgarten Foundation. To learn more about the latest research, including clinical trials, visit pancreaticcancercollective.org.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-715-9880.
That's right. Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and Annuity Rate Report. Both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-715-9880. That's 800-715-9880.
Sponsored by Annuity General. Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, there were two decisions that came down yesterday from the Supreme Court. One was the Obamacare decision, kind of expected. Conservatives were disappointed. Then there was another decision. Conservatives seem to be excited. They really should not be. This is the far more disappointing decision. The case, which we have discussed briefly on the show before, this is a case in which there is a so-called anti-discrimination law in Philadelphia. And that anti-discrimination law basically says that no contractor with the city government of Philadelphia is allowed to discriminate on the basis of sexual orientation, right? That is what the law says. Okay, and this comes into conflict pretty clearly with Catholic adoption and foster agencies. So Catholic adoption and foster agencies, you're a 16-year-old Catholic girl, you get pregnant, you have a baby out of wedlock, you want to give it up for adoption or you want to put it into foster care, but you want the family that adopts to have the same principles that you hold religiously. And so you want that baby to be fostered by a male-female married couple, which until like literally the last 5 minutes, pretty much, was considered the norm in American life. And pretty much throughout the world, right, was that a baby needs a mother and a father. This was considered an extremely uncontroversial statement for nearly all of human history, was that a baby needed a mother and a father. Okay, now it is considered discriminatory if you say that a baby needs a mother and a father, or that a mother-father married couple should be preferred to any other form of family formation, whether you're talking about two men, two women, two brothers, two sisters, a single woman, a single man, or any other form of family. And that all other things being equal, right, and that's always the key, all other factors being held equal, you prefer a male-female couple because the child needs a mother and a father. Okay, so Catholic adoption agencies and foster agencies still hold by this. This led the city of Philadelphia to basically suggest that they would no longer do work with Catholic foster agencies. In fact, Catholic foster agencies would not be allowed to work because they have to work with Child Protective Services and the city. They would no longer be allowed to operate in the city limits, basically, of Philadelphia because they preferred male-female couples to male-male or female-female or single-female or single-male couple families. So this was elevated to the Supreme Court on religious freedom grounds, right? The idea being that this is a basic violation of religious freedom, which it very, very clearly is. The court ruled 9-0 in favor of the Catholic Adoption Agency and Foster Agency. So why am I pissed off? The reason I'm pissed off is the grounds of the decision. Because as always with the Roberts Court, he prefers unanimity and narrowness over a divided court with a broad ruling. And that's a serious problem for future precedent. So here is how CNBC reports this. The Supreme Court on Thursday delivered a unanimous defeat to LGBT couples in a high-profile case over whether Philadelphia could refuse to contract with a Roman Catholic adoption agency that says its religious beliefs prevent it from working with same-sex foster parents. Chief Justice John Roberts wrote in an opinion for a majority of the court that Philadelphia violated the First Amendment by refusing to contract with Catholic Social Services once it learned the organization would not certify same-sex couples for adoption. Roberts wrote, the free exercise clause of the First Amendment applicable to states under the 14th Amendment provides Congress shall make no law prohibiting the free exercise of religion. As an initial matter, it is plain that the city's actions have burdened CSS's religious exercise by putting it to the choice of curtailing its mission or approving relationships inconsistent with its beliefs. So the question in this case is whether the Supreme Court was going to overrule another Supreme Court decision that was called Employment Division versus Smith. This is a very famous Supreme Court decision in which actually Justice Scalia wrote the decision, and he set a standard for when a law conflicts with religious freedom, how we rule. I believe in that case, if I'm not mistaken, I believe the case was that there was a drug law and it came into conflict with a Native American religious group that used peyote as some sort of hallucinogen in their religious practice. And what he said is a law of neutral applicability that affects religious people differently is not, in fact, a violation of freedom of religion. Now, the problem with that basic concept, and conservatives have been sort of up in arms with Employment Division versus Smith ever since 1990, was that this actually treats freedom of religion differently than any other freedom in the American Constitution. Because the reality is that every other freedom in the American Constitution, we don't say that if there's a law of neutral applicability and it just happens to infringe on your freedom in this particular area, well, you know, so be it. So, for example, if we said that there's an anti-discrimination law, and this anti-discrimination law prohibits discrimination in any field of endeavor, it also happens to infringe on your ability to say a thing, right? It infringes on your ability to speak freely. We would have to have a pretty serious First Amendment discussion as to what level of anti-discrimination law is applicable there, right? And this holds true. Let's say that there was a law that just was intended on cracking down on the ability to disseminate particular types of printed material and a crackdown on free press. Okay, well, we would make sure there was a pretty big carve out there for freedom of the press. But when it comes to freedom of religion, we're going to treat that just as though there's no extra stake for the U.S. government in preserving freedom of religion as opposed to anything else in American life. That obviously is not true. Okay, there's like Employment Division versus Smith has been a very controversial case for a very long time, and the standard Scalia sets there is not one that really comports with the original meaning of the Constitution. And I rarely say that about Scalia, but I really think that's true in Employment Division versus Smith. Here is the problem with this particular decision. It does not take on Employment Division versus Smith. Instead, what it did is decide this case on extremely narrow grounds. So Roberts said that the city's non-discrimination policy was not generally applicable. Instead of him saying generally applicable non-discrimination policies still have to make carve-outs for religion, instead of him saying that, which would be understandable and would have been much more protective of religious freedom, instead what Robert said is he sort of gamed it. He said, well, you know, this particular policy is not a neutral policy. This one is, so if they made it a neutral policy, maybe they could crack down on religion. But since it's not really a neutral policy, they can't crack down on religion. They did the exact same thing, Justice Roberts did the exact same thing in the Jack Phillips Masterpiece Cake Shop case. And people on the right were cheering, oh, it's great. And I was very critical of that decision because I said, here is the problem. In that case, very similar case, there's an anti-discrimination law in the state of Colorado. It was brought against Jack Phillips, who again is now being subjected to actual discrimination in the state of Colorado on the basis of religion day in and day out. In that particular case, the Masterpiece Cake Shop case, Jack Phillips was told by a gay couple that they wanted him to bake a cake for their gay wedding. And he said, listen, I'm happy to sell you a cake. I'm happy to provide you a cake just as gay people, but I'm not going to participate in a gay wedding because I'm a religious Christian. And they sued. And the Supreme Court, instead of saying he has a religious right to practice his religion, instead of them saying that very clearly, instead what they said is, well, the way that the Colorado Human Rights Commission adjudicated the case demonstrated that they had animus for him, but if they didn't demonstrate that animus for him, then maybe they could have forced him to bake the cake. Okay, which again, does not protect religious rights. And it's the same thing here. Okay, Justice Roberts was successful in curtailing this decision down to its narrowest possible scope so that he could get Kagan and Sotomayor and Breyer on board. Who gives a crap about getting a 9-0 decision? Okay, anybody who is concerned with constitutional principles should be far less concerned with getting a 9-0 decision that quote-unquote upholds the integrity of the court than they should be with preserving religious freedom rights under the First Amendment to the Constitution. And that's why I'm kind of fighting mad over this particular decision. Robert said, no matter the level of deference we extend to the city, the inclusion of a formal system of entirely discretionary exceptions in its foster care standards renders the contractual non-discrimination requirement not generally applicable. So again, he's just making excuses, and this is what he does. He makes excuses to uphold government power, and when he strikes down government power, he does so on very narrow grounds that basically still upholds governmental power. He's a bad Chief Justice. Alrighty, coming up, we'll get into the concurrence by Justice Alito, which spells out just why the Supreme Court decision is so bad. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
At Shasta Regional Medical Group, we're focused on the health matters that matter to you, like having a primary care doctor you trust. Our physicians put patients first. They take the time to listen to your needs and concerns, and they provide the information you need to make good decisions about your own health. At Shasta Regional Medical Group, you have an integrated network of caregivers and specialists working to serve you in a compassionate, patient-centered environment. We're conveniently located right across the street from Shasta Regional Medical Center. To make an appointment, call Shasta Regional Medical Group today at 605-4260 or visit us online at ShastaRegionalMedicalGroup.com. Shasta Regional Medical Group. Your primary care is our primary concern.
Friendly oil change, Premier in all we do.
Summer is upon us, and we all know what that means. Lots of summertime fun. Spin at the lake, by the pool, or off on adventures to your favorite waterfall or floating down the river. Servicing your vehicle is last on the list, but we all know it has to be done. Let Premier Oil Change save you time and money with their easy drive-in service. No appointment needed. Wait in the comfort of your own car, enjoy a cold beverage, and before you know it, you'll be off to your next summertime adventure, knowing that your car is summertime ready. Earn reward points for every dollar you spend, which can be redeemed for an oil change, additional services, and other great rewards. With free fluid top-offs, free check engine light inspections, free Wi-Fi, and a free car wash, you are sure to leave refreshed. Stop into a Premier Oil Change near you today. Visit them in Palisadro in the Holiday Shopping Center or in Redding on Lake Boulevard near Waterworks Park. And don't forget Anderson across from Round Table Pizza. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide 3 delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
This ad is not from HUD or FHA and was not approved by HUD or any government agency. Consumers remain responsible for property taxes, homeowners insurance, and home maintenance. Rich Pinnell, Branch Manager, NMLS number 1067640, PRMI NMLS 3094.
Medical advances have given us the gift of longevity. It also gives us a moving target when we're planning retirement. Because of this, some people haven't been able to live the lifestyle they're they're accustomed to. The good news? Reverse mortgages have been refined over the years. This gives us a great multifaceted tool for retirement. You could eliminate your house payment or buy an asset you always wanted without suffering the penalties from cashing in an investment. There are literally hundreds of scenarios, but the end product is you could live your life more comfortably. My name is Rich Pinnell with Primary Residential Mortgage, and I'm a reverse mortgage specialist. I've spent years helping seniors with financial issues solve their problems, and I would like to help you too. You can find me at Primary Residential Mortgage, 530-722-4579, or go to rich4reverses.com.
You are invited to participate in the 16th annual 4-H FFA Community Barbecue, which will be held Saturday, July 10th from 3 to 7 p.m. at the Shasta District Fairgrounds. A drive-through event includes your choice of lamb, pork, beef, or goat, with corn on the cob, barbecue beans, coleslaw, bread, and a drink. Tickets are $10 and are available for pre-sale from 4-H FFA members, the 4-H office, and Muse Trucking, or can be purchased at the barbecue. Please join us in making this a successful event.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, a lot of conservatives celebrating this 9-0 victory, supposedly on behalf of Catholic Social Services, saying that this upholds religious freedom. It really doesn't. This decision on religious freedom is extremely, extremely narrow. And it's a problem. So Justice Alito writes a dissent in this case. It's a concurrence. I keep saying dissent, but it's a concurrence. In which he says, this is way too narrow. He says, this case presents an important constitutional question that urgently calls out for review. Whether this court's governing interpretation of a bedrock constitutional right, the right to free exercise of religion, is fundamentally wrong and should be corrected. In Employment Division versus Smith, the court abruptly pushed aside nearly 40 years of precedent and held that the First Amendment's free exercise clause tolerates any rule that categorically prohibits or commands specified conduct so long as it does not target religious practice. Even if a rule serves no important purpose and has a devastating effect on religious freedom, the Constitution, according to Smith, provides no protection. This severe holding is ripe for reexamination. So what they were saying is we basically had six justices who were ready to overrule Employment Division versus Smith. We were ready to do it. We were ready to go back to the I believe it was the so-called Lemon test, in which we actually examined whether religious practice came into conflict with neutral law and carved out exceptions for religious practice. There's no question, says Alito, that Smith's interpretations can have startling consequences. Here are a few examples. Suppose that the Volstead Act, which implemented the Prohibition Amendment, had not contained an exception for sacramental wine. The act would have been consistent with Smith, even though it would have prevented the celebration of a Catholic Mass anywhere in the United States. Or suppose that a state, following the example of several European countries, made it unlawful to slaughter an animal that had not first been rendered unconscious. That law would be fine under Smith, even though it outlawed both kosher and halal slaughter. Or suppose that a jurisdiction in this country, following the recommendations of medical associations in Europe, banned the circumcision of infants. The San Francisco ballot initiative in 2010 proposed just that. A categorical ban would be allowed by Smith, even though it prohibited an ancient and important Jewish and Muslim practice. Or suppose that this court, or some other court, enforced a rigid rule prohibiting attorneys from wearing any form of head covering in court. This rule would satisfy Smith, even though it would stop Orthodox Jewish men, Sikh men, and many Muslim women from appearing. Many other examples could be added. We may hope that legislators and others with rulemaking authority will not go as far as Smith allows, but the present case shows the dangers posed by Smith are not hypothetical. The city of Philadelphia has issued an ultimatum to an arm of the Catholic Church. Either engage in conduct that the church views as contrary to the traditional Christian understanding of marriage, or abandon a mission that dates back to the earliest days of the church, providing for the care of orphaned and abandoned children. Many people, says Alito, believe they have a religious obligation to assist such children. Jews and Christians, regardless, is a scriptural command. It is a mission that the Catholic Church has undertaken since ancient times. In the New World, religious groups continue to take the lead. The first known orphanage in what is the United States was founded by an order of Catholic nuns in New Orleans around 1729. During the latter part of the 19th century and continuing into the 20th century, the care of children was shifted from orphanages to foster families, but for many years, state and local government participation in this field was quite limited. Whether with or without governmental participation, Catholic foster agencies in Philadelphia and other cities have a long record of finding homes for children whose parents are unable or unwilling to care for them. Recently, however, the city has barred Catholic Social Services from continuing this work. Because the Catholic Church continues to believe that marriage is a bond between one man and one woman, CSS will not vet same-sex couples. As far as the record reflects, no same-sex couple has ever approached CSS. But if that were to occur, CSS would simply refer the couple to another agency that is happy to provide that service. There are at least 27 other such agencies in Philadelphia. That didn't matter to Philadelphia. They wanted to crack down on CSS. Regrettably, the court declines to confront Employment Division versus Smith, says Alito. Instead, it reverses based on what appears to be a superfluous and likely to be short-lived feature of the city's standard annual contract with foster care agencies. Smith's holding about categorical rules does not apply if a rule permits individualized exemptions, and the majority seizes on the presence of the city's standard contract of language, giving a city official the power to grant exemptions. The city tells us it has never granted such an exemption and has no intention of handing one to CSS. But the majority reverses the decision below because the contract supposedly confers that never-used power. That decision might as well be written on the dissolving paper sold in magic shops. The city has been adamant about pressuring CSS to give in. If the city wants to get around today's decision, it can simply eliminate the never-used exemption power. If it does that, voila, today's decision will vanish, and the parties will be back where they started. This is exactly right, and this is why I am super mad at Justice Thomas. This is what at Justice Roberts, rather. Justice Roberts has been disgracefully committed to the idea that the role of the Supreme Court in American public life, in terms of how many people respect it, is significantly more important than the actual protection of the Constitution of the United States. And that is simply wrong. Okay, and again, as Alito points out, the Employment Division versus Smith notion basically discriminates on the basis of freedom of religion in a way that it simply would not allow for any other amendment in American law. Right? This particular decision was an opportunity. It was a blown opportunity. It was blown because Roberts, who is the Chief Justice and has the ability to do so, decided to cobble together a unanimous decision rather than simply cobble together a solid majority decision that actually protected religious freedom in a time when religious freedom is seriously under assault. That is a huge, crazy mistake. And again, it's not a mistake by Roberts, because this is what Roberts thinks the court is there to do. Basically uphold the whim of the legislature. And when you can't do it, then you redraw the law, or you find some very narrow excuse to strike down the law, allowing the legislature, or in this case, the City Council of Philadelphia, to go back and rewrite the law, allowing them to do exactly what they want a second time around. What a failure Roberts has been, and what a disgrace to the Supreme Court this is. It really is a bad decision, in the same way that the Masterpiece Cake Shop decision was a bad decision and has led to the unending harassment of, again, Jack Phillips. It's going to get worse, guys. If Employment Division versus Smith is upheld, you will see that the sort of anti-discrimination law that is now being promoted by the city of Philadelphia and is common in cities across the nation is going to be used to crack down on any religious organization that engages in any sort of activity that crosses streams with the government's authority. I've said for a long time, I think that it is very much in the near future that in places like California, tax-exempt status for religious schools is going to be removed. Accreditation for religious schools will be removed. I think that is not a question of if. I think it is merely a question of when, and I think the answer is pretty soon. And the Supreme Court could have stopped all that. They decided not to because Justice Roberts is too concerned with his own vision of unanimity and upholding the institutional quote-unquote integrity of the court, while completely undermining that integrity, because, again, the court is, in fact, supposed to be, it is its job, to be an anti-quote democratic piece of constitutional machinery defending fundamental rights under the Constitution. If it doesn't do that, it's not doing its damn job. We'll get to more on this in just 1 second. First, have you ever read the fine print that appears when you start browsing in incognito mode? So you think incognito mode means that you're incognito. Wrong. Actually, it turns out your activity might still be visible to your employer, your school, or your ISP. How can they even call it incognito? To really stop people from seeing the sites you visit, you need to do what I do. Use ExpressVPN. Think about all the times you've used Wi-Fi at a coffee shop, hotel, even at your parents' house. Without ExpressVPN, every site you visit could be logged by the admin of that network, and that is still true even when you're in incognito mode. What's more, your home internet provider, like Comcast or AT&T, they can also see and record your browsing data, and they can sell that data to advertisers. ExpressVPN stops all of that by making your private online activity private. ExpressVPN works on all your devices. It is super easy to use. You just put it on the device, click one button, you're good to go. So stop letting strangers invade your online privacy. Protect yourself at expressvpn.com/Ben. Again, use my link, expressvpn.com/Ben. You get 3 extra months for free. That's expressvpn.com/Ben to learn more. Go check them out right now, expressvpn.com/Ben. Alrighty, coming up, the left has decided that if you want to celebrate Juneteenth, it must be that you have to celebrate critical race theory. This is a lie. Don't fall for it. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new law that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-785-9132. That's 800-785-9132. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-785-9132.
If you're an attorney who struggles with the balance of managing your practice and practicing law, consider Lexicon as your number one pick. From client intake to billing, and all that comes in between, Lexicon doesn't miss a thing. Our comprehensive solution combines best-in-class software and services to take care of your firm's most critical challenges, automating many of the tasks that take time out of your day. It's all about giving you more of your billable hours back. And who doesn't love more revenue? No more searching for practice management that works. Lexicon marks the spot. Visit lexiconservices.com to learn what Lexicon can do for you.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Paid for by Bar Justice. Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers. Bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
Poor Sam was a mess, always itching, licking. His paws were soaking wet. He had bald spots on his back.
DinoVite.com.
2 weeks after he started Dynavite, I started seeing great improvements. And today, 99% of his issues are non-existent.
Dynavite is nutrition.
Dynavite is the best thing you can do for your dog.
You won't believe how happy your dog will be.
I get my Dynavite from DinoVite.com.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Congress declared nearly unanimously in favor of the idea of a Juneteenth holiday, right? A holiday that celebrates the anniversary in 1865 of slaves in Texas being notified of the Emancipation Proclamation. It's been celebrated as a Texas holiday for decades. And the basic idea is that there should be a holiday that commemorates the end of slavery in the United States, which seems pretty good to me considering the United States sacrificed several hundred thousand men in order to end slavery. Right? In fact, no less a personage than Donald Trump last year called for Juneteenth to become a national holiday. The only reason it didn't is because there were a few Republican objections to sort of the fiscal impact of that. There was talk about, are there too many federal holidays and all of that. Okay, bottom line is it passed 100-0 in the Senate. Right? Every senator voted in favor of making Juneteenth a national holiday. Everybody in the House, except for, I think, 14 Republicans who had sort of similar concerns about too many federal holidays, everybody else voted in favor of Juneteenth as a national holiday, and then Joe Biden signed it into law. Now, this has caused controversy on two separate scores. On the one side, you have some people on the right, and they're basically just reacting to people on the left, is the truth. What's happening is that people on the left are saying that because Juneteenth now exists, you must acquiesce to all of our legislative wishes. So you don't understand the legacy of Juneteenth unless you're fine with critical race theory, unless you want H.R. 1, unless you want all the things we want. You are dishonoring Juneteenth. So they're treating Juneteenth the way they treat Black History Month, right? Oh, it's Black History. Well, during Black History Month, you definitely have to be in favor of anything Stacey Abrams says. It's Black History Month. The left does the same thing with Pride Month. It's Pride Month. How could Ron DeSantis sign a law in Florida saying that only girls should play in girls' sports during Pride Month? How dare he? Same sort of thing happening immediately upon the declaration of Juneteenth as a national holiday. And the answer to that is, Juneteenth is a national holiday, not just a black holiday, because Juneteenth is a celebration of America fulfilling founding promises in the Declaration of Independence as Lincoln spoke. It has been celebrated for decades for good reason. America is a magnificent place, and Juneteenth is evidence that America continues to progress. I mean, how many civilizations in history have had hundreds of thousands of men go out and fight to liberate other human beings? Not many. The answer is not very many. Okay, that the outcome of the Civil War and the emancipation of slaves in the United States and granting of full citizenship rights to slaves is an amazing development in American history and is worthy of celebration. And by the way, it should be a reminder that it was the Republican Party, as always, that freed the slaves. It was not the Democratic Party which opposed that. In any case, the left has reacted with almost a sort of pathological fury at the fact that so many conservatives seem okay with Juneteenth, like they don't understand why. And then there are people on the right who see what the left is doing, and they're like, well, if you give them an inch, they'll take a mile. So you should oppose Juneteenth on the basis that Juneteenth is divisive because the left is using it to be divisive. How about this? Juneteenth is unifying and the left sucks. How about that? Both of those things can be simultaneously true. Juneteenth should be a point of unification because it is a great and glorious moment in American history that should be celebrated. And also, the left sucks and is going to use any opportunity in order to club people into submission. Okay, so we saw some of this from Joe Biden yesterday. So Joe Biden, he announced, he signed the bill into law that Juneteenth is now a federal holiday. And then he said, but we have to do more, right? And this is where the right starts to react like, well, maybe you shouldn't have given him Juneteenth. You're not giving him Juneteenth. Okay, Juneteenth is a celebration of America. It's not a celebration of Joe Biden's stupid agenda. But here is Joe Biden trying to make it into a celebration of his stupid agenda.
The truth is, it's not simply not enough just to commemorate Juneteenth. After all, the emancipation of enslaved black Americans didn't mark the end of America's work to deliver on the promise of equality. It only marked the beginning. To honor the true meaning of Juneteenth, we have to continue toward that promise because we've not gotten there yet. The Vice President and I and our entire administration and all of you in this room are committed to doing just that.
Right. So this is why you're seeing a backlash. American politics is so reactionary. I mean, it's true everywhere, but it's so true in American politics. People cannot hold two thoughts at once. So there are a bunch of people on the left that are like, if you like Juneteenth, then you have to embrace critical race theory. That's literally an article that was leading Huffington Post yesterday by a woman named Taryn Finley called The Hypocrisy of Honoring Juneteenth While Condemning Critical Race Theory. America has found itself at a contradictory point in history yet again. On Tuesday, the Senate unanimously passed a bill to make Juneteenth, the day that marked the end of enslavement in the United States on June 19th, 1865, a federal holiday. I mean, that's not actually historically correct, actually. What Juneteenth was an announcement in 2 years after the Emancipation Proclamation to slaves in Texas that they were free. But that was actually, I mean, if you want to talk about the actual end of slavery in the United States, you have to talk about the 13th Amendment to the Constitution. In any case, this person argues, social media users have pointed out how the irony of lawmakers' overwhelming support for making Juneteenth a federal holiday compared to their stalled approach to fighting current racial discrimination and injustice, including through the John Lewis Voting Rights Act. Ah, yes. Unless you believe everything the left believes, you're not allowed to celebrate Juneteenth. Hey, how dare you? It's just terrible. I mean, you have to respect critical race theory and believe that all of America's institutions are underscored and deeply intertwined with racism. Now, it seems to me that Juneteenth is actually a pretty forcible rebuttal to that. The Constitution of the United States was actively changed via the amendment process in order to get rid of slavery. It was working within the legal processes of the United States that the Civil Rights Act was passed. It is the processes and liberties guaranteed by the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution that have allowed for the massive change that has led to racial equality in the United States. Right? Like that's all within the system. So if those systems are so bad, then why is it that we were able to alleviate so many of these problems within the system? In fact, Juneteenth is a celebration of the system being upheld, right? If the system had not been upheld, then you would have two separate countries in the United States. Okay, but again, the left-wing point of view is that you're not allowed to celebrate Juneteenth unless you also embrace everything we want you to embrace. Eugene Robinson at the Washington Post says the same thing. He says, making Juneteenth, the anniversary of the day news of emancipation finally reached enslaved people in Galveston, Texas, a national holiday, is a victory. But it's a hollow victory at a moment when the political party that won the Civil War and made that freedom a permanent reality is now moving heaven and earth to keep African Americans from voting. Again, that's just a lie. Okay, no one is trying to stop black people from voting. There is no good evidence of widespread voter suppression or even moderate voter suppression in the United States. It is all a lie. It's just as much of a lie as the notion that elections are being stolen on a wide scale with hundreds of millions of votes being, like, the same people who are yelling to the moon about how Biden legitimately won, and anybody who questions that is a big problem. They're saying voter suppression is being promulgated every single day without any evidence. And Joe Biden lies about this kind of crap. So here is Joe Biden lying about it while pushing Juneteenth.
It's not going to be fulfilled so long as the sacred right to vote remains under attack. From restrictive laws, threats of intimidation, voter purges, and more. An assault that offends the very democracy, our very democracy. We can't rest till the promise of equality is fulfilled for every one of us in every corner of this nation. That, to me, is the meaning of Juneteenth.
Right. The meaning of Juneteenth is do what I want. Right. And so the predictable result has been from some on the right. OK, well, what if we just don't do what you want and we don't give you Juneteenth? And the answer is you're not giving Joe Biden Juneteenth. Juneteenth has been an American holiday in Texas for many, many years because it is a celebration of America. America freed its slaves. America promulgated racial equality. The richest black people on planet Earth live in America. Average household income for black Americans is higher than average household income for black people anywhere on the planet. Hey, this is a wonderful, wonderful country. Juneteenth is a celebration of that. The left thinks Juneteenth is a celebration of how America sucks. And so the right, a few people, I'd say a segment of the right, is reacting to that by saying, well, if they say America sucks based on Juneteenth, let's just not do Juneteenth. It's all just reactionary ping-ponging. Okay, but you can see the left pushing this kind of crap, and it's insane. Okay, you have AOC doing the same thing. It's essentially tying Juneteenth to critical race theory. So, oh, the reason that people are denying Juneteenth is because they also deny critical race theory. Well, what if I like the idea of celebrating the end of slavery and also think critical race theory is bunk, in part because we ended slavery? There's AOC being her normal genius self.
Whether it's trying to fight against teaching basic history around racism and the role of racism in U.S. history to, you know, there's a direct through line from that to denying Juneteenth, the day that is widely recognized and celebrated as the symbolic kind of day that to represent the end of slavery in the United States. You know, there's a direct through line between that denial of our history and wanting to understand the full scope of our history and celebrating the end, a major end of injustice in the United States.
Okay, so what they're lying about is they're tying Juneteenth to critical race theory. They're saying they're one and the same. So you can't do one without the other. And the right, some on the right say, okay, well, fine, so we won't do either. And the answer is no. Two things can be true at once. Juneteenth is good and critical race theory is bad. That is very easy to do. Okay, it also happens to be the truth. And you know how you fight, you can see the game the left is playing here. And it's really a quite despicable game. Again, taking elements of American history that should unify us, like, you know, America ending slavery, and turning it into a point of division in order to suggest that all of America's institutions are hierarchical in nature and must be torn to the ground. And the fact is that I will acknowledge, I am amazed at the extent to which critical race theory has taken over our institutions. Truly. It's amazing. Perfect example. So, this week, there was a questioning for Chief of Naval Operations Admiral Michael Gilday. The Chief of Naval Operations had put out a list of recommended books to members of the Navy, including Ibram X. Kendi's garbage, fascist, tyrannical, racist book, How to Be Anti-Racist. It is a piece of crap, that book. It is a terrible, terrible book. Again, not calling for its suppression, because I believe in free speech. You should read the book, and then you should recognize how stupid it is. Okay, but being recommended in America's military? A book that basically argues that America is inevitably and inherently racist and evil, and that active discriminatory measures must be taken today? Okay, so Admiral Gilday, was questioned by Republican Study Committee Chairman Jim Banks. And he defended all this. He said, no, it's very good. Critical race theory needs to be taught to the members of America's military. Now, it needs to be fought in America's military is what needs to happen.
Admiral, why did you put this book on the reading list and recommend it that every single United States sailor read it?
Because I think it's really important to consider a variety of views.
Admiral, you said you read this book. What part of this book is redeeming and qualifies as something that every sailor in the United States
should read it? About his own journey as an African American in this country, what he's experienced.
Let me ask you again, Admiral. Do you expect that after sailors read this book that says that the United States Navy is racist, that we will increase or decrease morale, cohesion, and recruiting race into the United States Navy?
I think we'll be a better Navy from having open, honest conversations about racism.
It's not an open, honest conversation about racism. And this is the lie that people who have now wormed their way into the heights of all of America's institutions continue to promulgate this stuff. This is why, and by the way, it's just, honestly, it's an avoidance technique. For so many members of the left who don't want to govern and be good at their jobs, it's an avoidance technique. You suck at your job, and so you blame racism and talk about how racism is the big specter out there lurking that is causing you to suck at your job. Hey, so, again, celebrate the country by celebrating the good that it does and recognize that the left will always attempt to use everything as a club to beat you into submission. It's why the left can't just accept the unification of Juneteenth and instead tries to turn it immediately into a divisive issue about the continuing evils of the United States, which, by the way, is a message directly contrary to the message of actually Juneteenth. You're listening to The Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Jason Walker. Tennessee Republican Senator Marsha Blackburn says the U.S. Navy needs to take more seriously the threat being imposed by China. Bob Agnew explains.
Senator Blackburn says this is no time to underestimate China's global ambitions.
The Chinese Communist Party is really quite aggressive.
Senator Blackburn says she doesn't think much of the Pentagon's current focus on using clean nuclear energy to create a green navy.
What we need is a blue water navy that is going to be solid in its ability to defend and support the other divisions of the U.S. military.
Senator Blackburn was interviewed by the Salem Radio Network. Bob Agnew reporting.
Cities in the West preparing for growth in the coming decades despite the drought. Jeremy House explains.
From Phoenix to Boise, officials are working to ensure they have the resources, infrastructure, and housing supply to meet growth projections while balancing conservation. Their efforts are constrained by the fact that some cities are surrounded by federal land. U.S. Senator Catherine Cortez Masto of Nevada wants to remedy the issue around Las Vegas by strengthening protections for some public lands while selling others to commercial and residential developers. Opponents argue that approving these kinds of swaps isn't sustainable, particularly in areas that rely on a shrinking water supply. Jeremy House reporting.
Also at townhall.com, very controversial in Kansas. A judge there is beginning to evict tenants who are behind on their rent in advance of a federal moratorium expiring at the end of this month. Johnson County Magistrate Daniel Voken says he doesn't think the moratorium issued last year by the CDC is enforceable. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Hey folks, Dennis Prager here. Can thieves really steal your home's title? Take it from this thief who stole over 150 homes and was sentenced to 25 years in prison. That is why you need Home Title Lock.
Nobody thinks that I can take their house and borrow against the house. Oh, no, I have title insurance for that. No, it's in my name, or he would have to get some special document. They would call me, you know. Nobody's calling you. After I've stolen the title, borrowed against it, or sold the property, or done whatever I've done with it, it's 60 to 90 days to even figure out that they're the victim of this crime. You know, by that point, you start getting foreclosure notices, and you realize you've got four mortgages on your house. Not only that, you don't even own your home anymore. It's not even in your name.
Heard enough? Go to HomeTitleLock.com and register your address to see if you're already a victim and enter radio for 30 free days of protection. That's promo code radio at HomeTitleLock.com.
Mortgage rates mostly lower this week. John Scott reports.
Mortgage buyer Freddie Mac reported the average for the key 30-year home loan fell to 2.93% from 2.96% last week. The rate for a 15-year loan edged up to 2.24% from 2.23% last week. The Federal Reserve signaled that it might act sooner than previously planned to start dialing back the low interest rate policies that have helped spark a swift rebound from the recession, but have also coincided with rising inflation. John Scott reporting.
Gasoline prices now more than $3 a gallon. The cost of used cars, new furniture, airline tickets, a lot of food also rising. Economists say the price increases are fueled by the after effects of the pandemic and probably won't last. Wall Street, huge losses. The Dow is off more than 500 points. Breaking news and analysis, townhall.com. A pair of pharmacies cashing in on vaccines.
Drugstore chains Walgreens and CVS are recovering some of the revenue they lost during 2020 as more customers are demanding vaccines for the coronavirus. Investors are being encouraged by the hundreds of millions of dollars being spent on testing and vaccination programs.
That is correspondent Ken Lorman reporting. U.S. Virgin Islands Power Company reporting a complete blackout in St. John and St. Thomas. Officials say the outage occurring when a key power plant lost all generation capacity late Thursday night for unknown reasons. Virgin Islands Water and Power Authority said it did not know when power might be restored. More than 51,000 people live in St. John. 4,000 live in St. Thomas. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Hi, I'm Liz Ponce. We at Lassen Canyon Nursery love to support the Shasta County Farm Bureau, Shasta District Fair, and the Haven Humane Society, just to name a few nonprofits that are dear to our hearts. We are proud to live in a community that celebrates unsung heroes who give back, and we invite you to give where your heart is to help build a stronger community together. Please remember to visit Lassen Canyon Nursery before you plant your strawberry patch this spring.
Yeah, we'll be counting. Star.
Stab you in the neck.
Senator John Kennedy, telling the truth about yet another communist that we're having to deal with in the 21st century. It's like the darkness. It's like Satan. Communism never dies. It just morphs. You got Putin over there. Xi Jinping over here. Got your commies in Cuba over there, your commie in North Korea. You see the commie in North Korea? Kim Jong-un, he's threatening the United States again with confrontation. They're ready to talk, but they're ready for confrontation as well. They're commies. They're murderers. This is the guy that, what did he lash his uncle to a pole and have him executed with an anti-aircraft gun while all of his generals watched from the bleachers? Good way to make a point, you know, kind of drives it home, I guess. It's what commies have been doing for a long time. For those who have perhaps forgotten or never learned in the first place, maybe got public education or something. Oh, by the way, today is the official celebration of Juneteenth, signed into law yesterday. It's setting aside the merits and the values of the actual holiday itself, because there was no discussion about this. There was no national debate about adding another national holiday. It's the Democrats, the party of slavery and the Confederacy, pandering to the black vote again. That's the primary driving force here. Now, you could have an honest and serious discussion about creating a holiday based on these events. A Union general arriving in San Antonio, Texas, and informing the African-American population that the Republicans had long since freed them and the Democrats had been resisting. That's the occasion of Juneteenth, June 19th, 1865.
And it's, you know, there's some interesting history there. There is. And really it's about the Democratic Party. And yesterday, instead of, you know, the news media, not that they were going to report this anyway in the Washington Post or anything, you know, the real history of the Democratic Party, the Democrats jumped in to pander and have photo ops and create a new, federal holiday. And yesterday, the mayor of Washington, D.C., as our city crumbles and falls apart, becomes a crime-ridden hellhole. She announced that all the students would have school off today, that there would be no school today, announcing it the last minute. Are they really still in school, I guess? And so yesterday they announced it mid-afternoon. Oh, by the way, everybody's off tomorrow. Yay! And everybody's off tomorrow. Another day of not learning, which is what usually happens even during school days in Washington, D.C. But there it is. So it is the celebration, the official Juneteenth, first time ever celebrated as a national holiday, a federal holiday, and the Democrats are taking credit for it, which is a little bit ironic. Delete a little bit. It's quite ironic, given that on this day, finally the Democrats were forced at long last with a gun to their head after the bloodiest war in the history of the country still to this day. To free the slaves from the Democrats. And the Democrat president, Jefferson Davis of the Confederacy, the Republican president, Abraham Lincoln, the first ever Republican president, the party which was created to oppose slavery, the abolitionist party, and the first Republican president was then, of course, shot in the head and murdered by who? By a Democrat who also, perhaps not coincidentally, was an actor. He's, you know, dress up and make believe and all that stuff. So it is the first time ever that Juneteenth has been observed. Again, the official date is tomorrow, as a federal holiday. And Joe Biden, and they had like Sheila Jackson Lee, who's completely insane, and, you know, a few other Democrats up there because of the color of their skin. You know, not that Martin Luther King would object or anything, people being judged by the color of their skin and not by the content of their character. But the Democrats once again jump in, yay, we saved the day. It's like, you guys were the slavers. You're the crackers. You're the gray uniforms. You're Jefferson Davis. You're Richmond, Virginia. You know, we had to drive you into the sea going through Atlanta. My best girl always resents it when I bring that up. She's from Atlanta. And, you know, Sherman's March to the Sea and all that stuff. So, you know, that was the Republican Army in blue, the Democrat Party in gray, and welcome to American history. But the Democrats, they get to rewrite it because they've got the news media, you know, the New York Times, the Washington Post working for them, and academia. So this stuff never comes up. They love to talk about, you know, how terrible American history is. They always leave out that every instance that they cite when they're talking about how terrible our history is there's a Democrat behind it. Democrat in every woodpile, in every bush. It's an amazing thing. But since they get to scratch their name out of the story, it works for them. You know, and then, oh gosh, the Democrat Party's really looking out for me. Yeah, okay, read page two. See if page two might change your mind, because a lot of things are different here. But in any case, happy Juneteenth observed, our newest federal holiday. And Joe Biden, he doesn't know what day it is or what year it is or when Juneteenth was or what it was about or anything of the kind. He was just told to pander along lines of race and racially divide and polarize. And so he did, because that's his thing. So we've got that going on. We've also got a great thing happened yesterday. Obama's former doctor, while he was president, not like his civilian doctor, you know, rubber glove, cough, turn to the left. His doctor, a career military officer and doctor, who is now a member of the House of Representatives, has come out and called for lunch bucket Joe Biden to take a cognitive test to see how his brain's doing. And he's done it very publicly in a letter, along with some other members of Congress, Republicans only, of course, because Democrats are not honest or truthful people. As a rule, I don't want to generalize, but not a single one of them is an honest or truthful person. I embellish only slightly. And this great story on the former doctor, you know who he is. I'm going to get to him. Calling for, you remember when President Trump was forced by a phony, corrupt news media, Democrat Party shills all. I don't want to generalize, but every single one of them, with a couple of exceptions. And they all called for President Trump to take a cognitive test to see how his brain is working, because, Well, they didn't vote for him is really the reason there. Now, Joe Biden, and this is it's a fun story because the doctor slash congressman actually cites a number of specific instances where Joe Biden seemed to lose his train of thought, forget what he was talking about. It happens every day, pretty much. So we've got that going for us, and it's a fun story. I'll get to that with you. Really fun. A great guy, a father of students in Illinois, went to a school board meeting and lit the place up. He's an African American guy, lit the place up. I usually forget to mention these details, but it probably is important in this case. It's relevant in this case about critical race theory. And he's talking about how, you know, the white man is keeping everybody down and, you know, the stuff, the usual racist stuff that the racists and the racist party peddle. That's the Democrat Party. Remarkable stuff. In Chicago, the mayor there, Baby Groot, she has declared racism a public health crisis, and she's going to steal money from the COVID thing to fund racism in Chicago, because racism is a public health crisis. Really, the Democrats are a public health crisis. And if we've got a racial crisis in the United States of America, it's the Democratic Party, the history past and present of the Democratic Party. Remarkable stuff. And I think I mentioned just in passing yesterday, but we didn't get to it, a university that is holding racially segregated graduation celebrations. They're celebrations. They're not graduation ceremonies. They're celebrations. And they're broken down along lines of race and ethnicity and, of course, sexual orientation or sexual preference. Which one is allowed now, Michael? Is it preference or orientation? It's not preference. It's orientation. Sexual orientation, breaking it down, they have different graduations based on who you have sex with, your melanin levels, what your grandparents' names were. Because they're segregationists. You know, the Democrats were the segregationists in the old days. Sheriff Bull Connor, the Woolworths Luncheonette Connor, Democrats everywhere. And now on college campuses, they're doing that stuff. Update on the transphobic mass shooter. This kind of got lost in the weeds because the news media never brought it up. A couple of transgender fanatics who went into a classroom and shot the place up had their day in court yesterday. And, they had several days in court. But we got the verdict yesterday. I want to share that with you. We've got an update also on the stabbing of a 94-year-old, don't want to exaggerate, 94-year-old Asian woman in San Francisco. You'll never believe she was stabbed in an effort to murder her just for no reason at all. And we have an update on the person that stabbed her. And guess what? There are some Democrats behind the curtain. It's amazing how consistent these stories are. It's an extraordinary thing. So I've got an update for you on that. Also, the Supreme Court. Remember when Amy Coney Barrett was going to there were hundreds and hundreds of news stories peddled by the frauds that we call the news media, the charlatans that come up with more fake news than I can list in a three-hour broadcast. You know, Russian collusion, Covington Catholic, Brett Kavanaugh's a serial rapist who drugged women in the punch bowls with barbiturates. Quaaludes? There were Quaaludes, I think, in the punch. It was all a lie. These were all lies. All of these things are lies. And Amy Coney Barrett was going to overturn Obamacare. Remember this? They had hundreds and hundreds of stories. And apoplectic transgender Democrats on MSNBC and CNN screaming and soiling their undergarments that Amy Coney Barrett was going to end Obamacare on the Supreme Court. Well, the court ruled yesterday, with the results are in, Amy Coney Barrett did not even vote to end Obamacare. In fact, it'll be controversial from this point on, but she sided with the Obamacare side. Let's just say. And so we got another giant fake news thing here to be exposed, and everything. It's more of what they tell us is a lie than what we get from them being the truth. It's an extraordinary thing. Just a great. Also, we hit on these a bit yesterday as the rulings were coming in from the Supreme Court. But there was also a big ruling having to do with religious liberties, religious freedoms, the First Amendment. And amazingly, even a couple of Democrats voted This is sort of a remarkable thing. It was unanimous Supreme Court decision in favor of religious liberties. Even Obama, the case must have been so obvious and so clear cut that even Sotomayor and Kagan and Breyer all voted with the majority in favor of religious liberties. It might be the influence that a conservative majority has on the court. It's going to make the Democrats want to pack the court even more. The Washington Post has, because they're really third world in their orientation and they're authoritarian and all this stuff, they really are. Also, a little minor thing, and we got lots of other stories too. Police stories out of Portland and out of Los Angeles, because the Democrats are anti-police. They're an anti-police political party, the largest, and they're in control right now. Pretty remarkable stuff. And also, I want to, Hunter Biden. Did you see that 50 former intelligence officials have come out and declared that Hunter Biden is the greatest artist of our time? You see, they signed a letter. They didn't really. But you remember that letter they signed, these 50 phony, corrupt former intelligence officials saying that the New York Post reporting on Hunter Biden's laptop and the emails had all the classic earmarks of a Russian information operation, Russian disinformation campaign. That was all a lie. That was those 50 former intelligence, but they owe the American people an apology. And they're frauds and political hacks and liars as long as they don't come out and apologize for this phony, corrupt, just, a month before the election. These intelligence, led by John Brennan, penitentiary face Brennan, who voted for the Communist Party candidate for President of the United States when he was a young man. Didn't do it recently. Gus Hall, anybody that voted for the Communist Party candidate? There's former CIA directors. So we got all kinds of remarkable stuff going on here today. Victoria's Secret is in the news. And my best girl and I, we went out for a walk yesterday in Washington, D.C., hiking around. We like to walk miles and miles. We came across a crime scene, a drive-by shooting, where, what was it, 40 or 50 rounds were fired, two people were shot, and I've got a little story to tell about that. We are, of course, at 888-630-9625, 888-630-9625.
There's only one Chris Plant, The Chris Plant Show.
Hey everybody, Jay Farner here, CEO of Rocket Mortgage and Rocket Companies. Last year we saw historically low mortgage interest rates. In fact, over 1 million homeowners took advantage of refinancing or buying a new home with Rocket Mortgage. What you may not know is that interest rates are already starting to increase again, and it's likely that trend is only going to continue. Our team of experts is standing by to help you save before rates go up. With an official mortgage review from Rocket Mortgage, you'll see just how much money you could save by making a move right now. Don't look back over these next few weeks and wish that you had taken action. You could save hundreds on your mortgage payments or pay off your home loan earlier than planned. You could even take cash out of your home to pay off high interest debt, complete home repairs, or bulk up on an emergency fund. When you want to secure a low rate, Rocket can. Call 833-8-ROCKET or visit rocketmortgage.com. Rocket.
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender license in all 50 states and MLSConsumerAccess.org number 3030.
You work hard and you train hard. And let's face it, sometimes it hurts. But it doesn't have to be that way. Stick it to the pain with the Tiger Balm Pain Relieving Patch. Convenient to apply, Hydrogel technology sends Tiger Balm's proven pain relief right to your aches and pains. It's fast, safe, and long-lasting. Made from a blend of herbal ingredients, Tiger Balm is trusted pain relief for everyone. From world-class athletes to weekend warriors. Roar back with Tiger Balm. It works where it hurts. Available at stores everywhere.
Today on Hey Culligan, buy to save. Here's a text from Devin in Denver. Hey Culligan, I'd love a water softener, but I don't want to pay for it. Devin, I can't help you there, but a Culligan high efficiency softener can help you save oodles on energy and detergent, so the savings can be even greater than the cost. And I'm getting a mind blown emoji followed by, yes please. Devin, the savings are already on the way. Let us help you out with a free in-home water test with the local Culligan water expert at Culligan.com.
Liberty Mutual Insurance Company presents
Legal Table.
And
Doug.
And we're back with Limu, Emu, and Doug for the final question. Category is things you climb.
All right, Limu, what do you think? You sure? We're going with Liberty Mutual customizes your car insurance so you only pay for what you need.
Oh, so close. We were looking for stairs.
Huh. Only pay for what you need.
Liberty, 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 Liberty.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit beefy, or even with type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Affordable term life insurance is out there. Call Term Provider and speak with Big Lou at 800-481-1458. 800-481-1458 or visit BigLou.com. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds too.
Poor Sam's was a mess. Always itching, licking. His paws were soaking wet. He had bald spots on his back.
DinoVite.com.
2 weeks after he started Dinovite, I started seeing great improvements. And today, 99% of his issues are non-existent.
Dinovite is nutrition.
Dinovite is the best thing you can do for your dog.
You won't believe how happy your dog will be.
I get my Dinovite from DinoVite.com.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Paid for by Bar Justice. Attention, have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers: bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
All right, yeah, I want to get to the, came across a drive-by shooting in Washington yesterday, and two people shot, and it led to a high-speed chase, all kinds of good stuff. I want to get to that. Right now, let's go to the telephones, Mike. It's Friday, and let's talk to nice people. We're at 888-630-9625. Let's go to Roger, calling from Wilmington, North Carolina. Roger, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Man, great to talk to you. I've been listening to your show for a couple of years now.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Welcome, Roger.
Listen, the critical race theory, I hope you think it's kind of new, but here's the deal. It was in race relations class in the Army. The same theory of it's all your fault, you're to blame, you own the slaves. It's you get all the blame, and I said, okay, you don't get to talk to the instructor in the Army, but it's like, how are you going to solve the problem if you don't share the blame on both sides?
Well, you know, I don't know that, I don't know how you share the blame on both sides for something that happened centuries ago. And, I mean, I got to tell you, my ancestors, as far as I know, my Basque ancestors came over, you know, 100 years ago, a little more, my Irish ancestors, maybe a little longer ago than that. not aware that anybody was involved in any fashion with the slave trade or owned any slaves. And, you know, and even if my ancestors had done something that was perfectly normal worldwide at the time, but was obviously wrong by today's standards, that doesn't make me guilty of anything. It doesn't make my children, I don't have any children, I'm signing the cross. But if I had any, it wouldn't make them guilty of anything. And, wouldn't, and it doesn't make my grandparents guilty of anything. The whole thing, really, listen, Roger, this is about this, Marxist's construct of creating class conflict and race conflict. And that's what the left is busy doing today in the United States of America, is they're using race. They like to call them wedge issues. They use race, and they're teaching it in school because they want to raise a generation that lives in conflict. Now, Roger, you say you learned this, you got this stuff when you were in the Army, and they sat you down and started talking about all matters related to race. And they say, you know, and white people are, I mean, obviously, white people and others. By the way, thousands of black people in the United States owned slaves. This is something that doesn't get talked about a lot. But literally thousands of people in the United States of America who were African-American owned slaves because there were a lot of free black people, and slavery was legal, not just in the United States, but all over the world, you know. 60% of the slaves that left the Middle Passage that crossed the Atlantic went to Brazil. About 60% went to Brazil. About 5% came to what is now the United States of America. And this critical race theory is a big lie. The country wasn't founded in 1619. It was founded in 1776 on July 4th. And it didn't start when the first slaves arrived. And the first slaves didn't arrive in 1619. They arrived in the mid-1500s with the Spanish. But never mind the facts.
This is the Chris Plant Show.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Filotto, broker and co-owner of The Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, We've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Did the Redding summer heat put a toll on your vehicle? Is your paint faded, peeling, or even scratched up? It'll get worse faster than you think. You may think it's way too expensive to have painted. Well, think again. You can bring it to Maaco here in Redding and get a professional paint job and save big with their $4.99 special. Maaco also has interest-free loans for up to a year OAC. Maaco, America's Body Shop, 3045 Crossroads Drive. Uh-oh. Better call Maaco, 226-0992. Have you been involved in a minor accident and find it's not big enough to go through your insurance company? Bring it to Maaco and get it fixed at a fraction of the cost. Remember, it's your choice where you go to have your vehicle repaired. Call Maaco for uncompromised quality, quick turnaround times, and all work backed by the National Maaco Warranty. Maaco, America's Body Shop. Stop it at 3045 Crossroads Drive or call 226-0992. Uh-oh. Better call Maaco, 226-0992.
A Moment in History by KCNR and historian Dottie Smith. Willing Hopping arrived in 1852 as a gold miner. He soon established and operated a butcher business at French Gulch until he was elected county sheriff. He then served from September 2, 1863 until 1867, and again he served from November 7, 1882 to 1892. In 1872, he was elected county judge and served until 1880. He was killed by an insane man in the Shasta Jail, who hit him on the head with a piece of firewood during his seventh term as sheriff on January 31, 1892. Hopping weighed a whopping 450 pounds and was gifted with musical talent. To find out more about Dottie Smith, go to the Shasta County Historical Society.
Yes. Yeah, I mentioned that my best girl and I, doing what we often do, we were out for a hike about, wandering the city of Washington in our comfortable shoes, you know. And we'll get to that Victoria's Secret thing shortly, speaking of comfortable shoes. But we were hiking around the city, as we often do, and we go for miles and miles. And we came across in a neighborhood in Washington called Cleveland Park. Cleveland Park. The neighborhood is named for Grover Cleveland, because Grover Cleveland, the president, retired to that neighborhood when he left the presidency for the second time, two non-consecutive terms as president, as any school child can tell you. And we came across a lot of police cars, D.C. Metropolitan Police cars, and United States Secret Service Uniform Division police cars. There are in Washington, D.C., you have the United States Secret Service Uniform Division, and they have cars that look just like police cars, and they protect embassies, vice presidents, residents. You see them around the White House, and you see them driving around neighborhoods. Well, it turns out we came across this thing of these police cars, and so we stopped to see hey, what's going on here? We start talking to people. It's a school. There's a school there, and it turns out that the school had been the scene of a shooting yesterday afternoon, about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I guess. And there's a construction site at a school. The school is under construction. None of the kiddies are going to school there. They're going to school someplace else nearby. So there are no kiddies at the school, but it's a school. It's been there for 100 years or something. And the construction crews are there. An automobile pulled up, and four fine young gentlemen, four well-raised young men, in the automobile with firearms, and some number of the fine young men got out of the car, probably white supremacists, you know, that you hear so much about, got out of the car and opened fire with at least two, possibly three firearms, including at least one rifle, according to multiple reports. And according to reports, and according to what we were told at the scene, while we were at the scene, because the police are still on the scene, 40 to 50 rounds of ammunition were fired at a couple of construction workers. They like to call them workers. A couple of construction workers, you know, employees at the construction place at the site. And two men were shot and wounded Thursday afternoon in Northwest Washington's Cleveland Park neighborhood when at least one person fired toward a construction site. It's like he's not firing toward a construction site. He's firing toward the people. You know, but in the Washington Post, it's like he hates those cans. Stay away from those cans. Once again, it's Steve Martin and the jerk when it comes to the Washington Post reporting. I'm making quotation marks with my fingers on the story. They did. They've got a little blurb on it here. No pictures or anything. And it's on page B4 in the Metro section. Doesn't make the front page or the second or the third page in the Metro section because this is like dog bites man. It's a very commonplace thing. So they say that the gunman fired at a construction site or toward a construction site. No, they were firing at men or at least one man at the construction site. A person who lives near the school said he saw a gunman and heard shots, at least a dozen shots shortly before 2 p.m. 40 to 50 is what I was told when we were at the scene talking to people, talking to some of the construction guys, talking to local news guys, briefly talking to a police officer. But this is a, you know, this is kind of a classic Washington, D.C. Thing. And the it gets a little better from here because the car with the four or five young gentlemen, probably white supremacists, I can only imagine. You know, because the FBI, they said their task forces, they're standing up in the military, and everybody's, and the biggest problem, the biggest threat is white supremacists. And, you know, never mind that on Tuesday afternoon in, on Tuesday in Chicago, eight people were murdered, including four in a single mass shooting where four people were murdered. Eight killed across the city, more than were killed in the St. Valentine's Day Massacre in Chicago in 1929, the stuff of lore and films and books. Now it's just Tuesday in Chicago. Not a thing. Probably white supremacists, Serbia. Don't you think, Michael? Victor, I think probably white supremacists is what we're talking about here. So yesterday we came across this crime scene. It wasn't really a drive-by because they stopped and got out. I mean, you might call it a drive-by by the loosest definition. Usually I think of a drive-by as roll down the window, driving slowly, open fire, then drive fast, you know. But if you stop, get out, walk up, and shoot, that looks like an organized hit, you see. So the two people were shot, and they say that non-life-threatening. It's always non-life-threatening when it's not you. You know, when it's you, it was very much life-threatening. They were shot by these creeps that got out of a car and walked up and shot them. So that's pretty life-threatening stuff, I've got to say. And then the police, it turns out that the United States Secret Service Uniform Division were first on the scene and provided life-saving medical assistance to the two wounded individuals. And the gunmen, of course, fine young men, probably white supremacists, they got in the car and they raced away. This led to a high-speed chase, and the U.S. Park Police helicopter was on the job. You see that over Washington, D.C. a lot. And they chased the car, a big high-speed chase around the city of Washington, and then they left the city of Washington. According to reports, went into Prince George's County in Maryland and then circled back around and came back into northeast Washington, D.C., where they crashed the car and the car caught on fire. And four young men were arrested, at least two, possibly three firearms recovered. Four people, including a juvenile, were arrested, the Washington Post reports. And they were shooting at, they were shooting toward a construction site. That's it. They hate construction sites. That's probably what it is. The Washington Post tells us that maybe they had a problem with construction. That could be the thing. And this is, you know, in Washington, D.C., you're walking around, you come across a crime scene, it's another shooting. This is in a nice neighborhood of Washington, D.C., not a particularly high-crime neighborhood, but it's becoming a more high-crime neighborhood, as is most of the city becoming a more high-crime neighborhood. And the high-speed police chase and the crash and the fire and four arrests. And, this is page four. An item on page four in the Metro section, the second section of the Washington Post today, because this is not really a big thing. This is just this is small potatoes in the scheme of things when it comes to Washington, D.C., and when it comes to the news media, because You know, what are they going to emphasize this, play this up? Now, if there were a racial motive or something, then it would be front page news and it would be national news and it would be all over the place. And, you know, it would be white supremacists. They keep looking for the mythical white supremacist, the unicorn of our time. Remarkable stuff. I was like, you know, the other day we barely talked about it, but in Austin, Texas, there was a mass shooting out on 6th Street. If you've ever been to Austin, Texas, kind of fun, University of Texas. And 6th Street is where all the clubs and the music, got a lot of music, got a big music scene in Austin, Texas. And there was a mass shooting there over the weekend. I believe one person was killed and, 11 or 12 or something. More people were shot. Probably white supremacists in Austin, Texas, because you figure it's Texas, is Austin, Texas. This is not going to be something. No, but it turns out it wasn't. It wasn't more white supremacists. I just, with all the noise that we get from the federal government and the phony, baloney, corrupt, stinking FBI these days, about white supremacy being the biggest threat and the U.S. military standing down to look for white supremacists under the bunks and stuff like that, behind the desks, you know, what's under the coat rack. Maybe there's a white supremacist back there. This is just embarrassing and ridiculous. In the meantime, you got all these mass shootings going on all over the country, and the Democrats, and by that, in this case, I mean the news media, they say, well, you know, it's the biggest threat is white supremacists, and I if that were true, we'd be hearing about these white supremacist acts every day, wouldn't we? And they wouldn't be burying them on page B4. And when 8 people are murdered in Chicago on a Tuesday, 4 of them in a single mass killing incident, if they could only racialize that for us. But the problem is that they can't, because there is a crisis in the United States of America when it comes to violent crime. And we don't talk about it because it's not allowed, because the left says it's not allowed. And honestly, I brought these statistics in here from the Washington Post, no less. They don't talk about it much, but they went with the numbers from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. And they had a story on handgun deaths, suicides and murders using, firearms, not just handguns, but firearms, mostly handguns. And they found that, African Americans, that number of African Americans, killed by homicide, is 10 times higher than the number, and this is crimes killed by handgun, 10 times higher than the Caucasian homicide rate. And we don't talk about that, because we can't talk about that, because you're racist if you talk about that. And then don't forget to send a check to Planned Parenthood. It's just amazing the casualness with which we dismiss the daily crime wave from coast to coast, mostly in Democrat-run cities and Democrat-run newspapers, where they just don't talk about this stuff, and they bury the news, and they keep telling us that white supremacists are the big problem in the United States of America. And I say Jeffrey Toubout the other day on CNN, you know, they call him Jerk. That's his nickname at CNN now, is Jerk. Why? Why is that his nickname? Never mind. And Jeffrey Toobin, he's writing a book. He's coming back from his public masturbation scandal, and CNN welcomed him back with open something or other. And Jeffrey Toobin is back. And as soon as he's back, said, "Well, you know, hey, you were on a Zoom call doing, you know, spanky wank over here, and now you're back on the air at CNN." And he said, "Yes, and I've got a new book, and it's on the, what was it, 1996 or something, Oklahoma City bombing." Because I think that's about the last case that they can point to. Is that it? Oh, Charlottesville. Yeah. And Heather Heyer was killed by a medicated teenager, and that was a terrible thing. And there were 8 people killed in Chicago on Tuesday, and nobody's talking about it. Kind of a big deal. Ought to be a big deal. Really ought to be. Now, let's, just moving on, I want to share that, because it just occurred to me yesterday. We're walking around, real casual thing. No big deal. Where's the news coverage of people being shot at a school? And by the school is half a block away. There's a playground, and there are kiddies playing. 40, 50 shots fired, apparently targeted shooting, you know, like a hit, trying to assassinate somebody. And this is just no big deal. And the reason is it's all people of color. And where are the news media on this? Where are the Democrats on this? Because if you move the color quotient by, you know, just one little factor, just change this fact to that fact, change black to white, and suddenly it's national news. But this everyday stuff, just pay no attention to it at all. And that's your Democrat Party, while they're signing their Juneteenth legislation yesterday. They're turning a blind eye to the ongoing Holocaust that's going on from coast to coast. So just a couple of thoughts on what I saw yesterday out walking around the city of Washington. You know how it goes. Yeah. And in the meantime, we got to teach our kids that white people are evil. We're teaching that in school. Critical race theory. And that black people are victims of white people. And I've got a great guy that I've got audio of this great guy who, African-American guy, went to a school board meeting in Illinois, Ty Smith, and told it like it is. This is a growing trend, I'm happy to report. I think it might have started in Loudoun County, Virginia, where a couple of teachers spoke up and told the truth about critical race theory and the lie, that is the fraud, the racially divisive fraud, that is critical race theory, and the 1619 Project, the New York Times of all people, for crying out loud, for the love of. So with that, Michael, let's go back to the phones. Shall we go back to the phones? Let's go to Ken calling from Dayton, Ohio. Ken, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Thanks, Chris, for taking my call. As I thought through this issue about critical race, I look at the transfer of power in these cities from, first of all, competent to incompetent Democrats, and finally to truly incompetent black Democrats. And instead of being held accountable for this ongoing carnage, they blame, because they're either all purpose, and I think most of this is purposeful to let this stuff go. They've just, now it's all Whitey's fault. And so,
right. Oh, it's true. It's the catch-all convenient throwaway. And like the mayor of Chicago, Mayor Lori Lutfoot, she's got this new thing now where she's going to spend millions and millions of dollars on race in the city of Chicago. And, you know, hundreds and hundreds of African Americans are murdered in Chicago every year. And the number this year is soaring, at a record pace. And what the Democrats do is they point to white people and blame white people. Seems to work for them. You know, it's a catch-all. The news media goes along with it. Academia goes, well, there are historical wrongs that have led to. Yeah, and the Democrats are behind pretty much every single historical wrong. And by the way, things in many, many important respects were not nearly this screwed up in the 1950s and the early 1960s, even through the early 70s, as they are now, because the Democrats continue to fix things. Know what I mean?
You're listening to The Chris Plant Show.
Hey DQ fans, the Girl Scout Thin Mints Blizzard is here. The Girl Scout cookies you love meet Cool Mint and world-famous soft serve, blended together in this chocolatey, minty masterpiece. Grab it today, only at your DQ. Happy tastes good.
Liberty Mutual Insurance Company presents...
Doug. Check it out, Limu. A roadside carnival.
Step right up, folks. Test your strength. Come see the fire-breathing baby.
Let's fan out and tell people that Liberty Mutual customizes your car insurance so you only pay for what you need.
Look! An emu wearing sunglasses!
Limu, you're famous. Only pay for what you need.
Liberty, 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 Liberty.
Poor Sam was a mess. Always itching, licking. His paws were soaking wet. He had bald spots on his back.
DINOVITE.com.
2 weeks after he started Dynavite, I started seeing great improvements. And today, 99% of his issues are non-existent.
Dynavite is nutrition.
Dynavite is the best thing you can do for your dog.
You won't believe how happy your dog will be.
I get my Dynavite from DINOVITE.com.
Is your credit card debt piling up? Pacific Debt can help. Pacific Debt is the nation's friendliest debt settlement company. With an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau and thousands of five-star reviews on sites like Trustpilot and Best Company, they can settle your debt for a fraction of what you owe. In fact, they've settled over $300 million, helping people just like you. Get a monthly program payment you can afford and zero upfront fees. Get free information now. 800-281-9981. 800-281-9981.
The forgotten poor in need of healing wait for Mercy Ships, a floating hospital staffed by volunteers, heroes of mercy who donate their time to save lives. To learn more about Heroes of Mercy, go to mercyships.org.
Hey. Paid for by Bar Justice.
Attention, have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers: bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
Daisy sheds like crazy. Our hairballs have hairballs.
Marquette Mama, she has dandruff and an oily coat.
DINOVITE.com.
I was thrilled when I heard Dynavite for cats was coming out.
If you love your pets as much as I do, you'll want to do what's best for them.
Dynavite is a life changer.
Lately, she's been a lot more playful, a lot more energetic, more active.
Dynavite for life.
You won't believe how happy your cat will be.
DINOVITE.com.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-715-9880.
That's right. Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and Annuity Rate Report, both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-715-9880. That's 800-715-9880.
Sponsored by Annuity General. Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
All right, a great many really good stories to get to today, but, you know, good being a relative thing. Lunch bucket Joe Biden has promised that they said that he's vowed not to hire his own family. Well, if they make more money, milking the name outside of government, don't be ridiculous. But now Hunter Biden's the most successful artist in the history of the world. For his first exhibition, his pieces are selling for $500,000, maybe $1 million, to anonymous donors from overseas. We don't even know who they are because they're going to maintain their anonymity, like all of the sources in the Washington Post today. Remarkable stuff. Although Biden has vowed not to hire his own family in the first few months of his presidency, at least five children of his top aides have secured coveted jobs in his new administration. The Washington Post is even reporting this. It's kind of amazing that they, I mean, somebody must have handed them the story and they can't stay away from it or something like that. You know, usually kids of the Democrats get hired by the news media. You know, what's her name? Valerie Jarrett's daughter, Laura Jarrett, is now a correspondent and I think an anchor at CNN. And Jim Sciutto at CNN, he's an anchor. He was an Obama administration official, too. And now the Washington Post has a story barely a week into office. President Biden made a promise, signaled a sharp break from his predecessor. No members of his family would be involved in government. You mean like Jared Kushner with the four Middle East peace deals for which the administration and Jared Kushner get no credit but scorn and disdain because they're anti-Israel. The Democrat Party is anti-Israel. Pro-Hamas. Hamas is a terrorist organization. So that vow did not extend to his senior staff and their relatives in the first few months of Biden's presidency. At least five children of his top aides have secured coveted jobs in the new administration. They include two sons and a daughter of the White House counselor, the daughter of the deputy White House chief of staff, and the daughter of the director of presidential personnel. The pattern, which continued this week with the Treasury Department's announcements, hiring of J.J. Ricchetti, the son of Biden counselor Steve Ricchetti, has drawn concerns from ethics experts. Concerns, they're just minor concerns, from ethics experts. They had to find experts to find that this might be an issue, not a thing. Diversity advocates and others, they checked with multiple diversity advocates. That's people have that on their business card. I'm a diversity advocate. Oh, really? What do you advocate for? You know, diversity. Okay. And do you know what that word means? Because I find that very often they use the words, but they don't know what they mean. Truly remarkable. Now, that's no big deal. I just want to know when the 50, that's okay, the news media is gonna smooth this over for him. This is, I didn't see this in the actual hard copy of the paper today. So I wouldn't worry about it too much, and the Biden people won't worry about it too much either. Remarkable stuff. I want to know when the 50 intelligence officials that said that the Hunter Biden laptop was Russian disinformation and all the stories about it, I want to know when those 50 intelligence officials are going to come out with a letter declaring that Hunter Biden is the greatest artist in history.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.